he was on like a year ago saying, this group kills people, and if Trump really goes for disclosure, I think you're going to see a lot of death. Well, now it's official U.S. government study. Like, why? They're saying it's 11 scientists. Folks, it's hundreds. But it's people over gravitic control. It's not anti-gravity, folks. It's gravity manipulation, gravity control. And it's people involved with the secret space program, all of it. And they're saying, they're coming to kill me. They told me they are, and they're dead.
This dude, this katana-wielding dude, made a really big deal about, he was like, okay, listen to me. It's been independently discovered 4 other times. He said it's been suppressed every other time. This time, they're waiting for someone to publish. They're ready. And on the other side of the fence, there's multiple parties looking at each other like, didn't we tell this bitch 3 years ago that we kill people for this? Is she not listening? What is she doing? She's still doing it? What? We told her we were going to kill her 3 years ago. So I have these two different scenarios floating constantly in my life where I have people being like, do it, do it, do it. You're the one, do it. And then I have multiple people being like, they're going to kill you. Don't do it.
Every day that I have on earth is a gift and a blessing, and I'm very grateful for that because, frankly, people are disappearing. Scientists are going missing. Now they're saying they're going to investigate this. The president himself is saying they're going to look into this and see if anything's going on. It's a little bit scary. I got to say, it's a little bit scary. But you guys knew that I might still show up, even though it was last minute and I've had a really rough week. Like, you know, that's kind of like every week. But somehow we keep on making it through all of this.
Daniel List, we've had prominent UFO researchers commit suicide in the last few days and die. We have all these scientists dying. We have all these Chinese scientists dying. You're a very credible, prominent guy. I'm not trying to be dramatic here, but have you started to get a little bit of your skin crawling, a little bit concerned yourself? Again, you know me, I'm not a dramatic guy with you personally, but I just wanted to ask that question up front. Hope you don't mind it. Are you getting a little creeped out here?
There's no question about it, and it's great to be back with you, Alex. I do want to actually spotlight that when you took on the UFO issue and started speaking about the secret space program, I noted a genuine uptick, and I mean serious uptick, in your legal issues. And I noted it sometime back in 2017, way back there.
Trump orders a real investigation, so he sends out investigators, and then all the key people die. It's pretty obvious.
There's no question about it. And I will say that, you know, Trump going on the record right there in February and saying we're going to release all of these records pertaining to the UFO file was gigantic.
To begin releasing government files relating to UFOs and unexplained aerial phenomena. And I figured this was a good crowd because I know you people, you're really into that. I don't know if I am, but so I'm pleased to report today. I thought I'd save it for this crowd because you're a little bit out there, you know, a little bit. That this process is well underway and we found many very interesting documents, I must say. And the first releases will begin very, very soon. So you can go out and see if that phenomena is correct. You'll figure it out. Let me know.
We do know that General McCaslin was well respected by people who were pushing for UAP disclosure, including very senior people in Hillary Clinton's campaign back in 2016. We know he was planning to disclose UAP secrets in what was expected to be a Clinton presidency. And it's really interesting that this follows so closely, his disappearance follows so closely on the heels of President Trump's announcement that he was intending to declassify UFO files, a promise, by the way, which the president hasn't followed up on yet.
It was huge, and we saw it was, you know, interfered with by Obama, so we know that something strange was going on the inside.
Are aliens real?
They're real, but I haven't seen them, and they're not being kept in, what is it?
Area 51.
Area 51. There's no underground facility, unless there's this enormous conspiracy, and they hid it from the President of the United States.
What was the first question you wanted answered when you became president?
Where are the aliens?
Where are the aliens?
And then in the background there, you had a number of people who were silently being moved off the stage and eliminated. But I've also seen how this works directly. You know, we're talking about DOD billionaires hanging out in the background, hardware manufacturers, defense contractors. And if you have that stroke of history, when you look across it, you can see presidents warning about this through generations, from Eisenhower, Reagan.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town. I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it. Ultra methylene blue, 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 blue. I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it, up about it. Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Tuesday morning here from the InfoWars headquarters, Central Command, here in Austin, Texas. Very glad you are with us today, of course. Just too much news, just more news we could ever possibly get to. We're going to try to break it all down. One of the reasons I have a lot of news, or like a lot of videos to get to today, pulled in 65 different videos today. And they're on a bunch of different topics. We're going to talk about Ukraine. We're going to talk about the war in Iran. Of course, some changes occurring there that are worthy of note. But I also have a collection of videos that all, I think, present a pretty interesting argument, I guess you could say. I got a bunch of videos of left-wingers reacting viscerally to left-wing policies. And we'll go over it here in just a second. And I don't know why it happened. These all happened to arrive today. But I've got a lot of videos of left-wingers who all sort of have an intrinsic, and it's what we talk about forever. It's like when we first said that we thought that the vaccine would lead to vaccine mandates, and everybody's response was like, oh my God, no way, no, never. We would never do that. Mandates for vaccines? Are you crazy? You must be crazy for saying that. And then give it a couple months, and it's like, yeah, you got it. It's a mandate now. No, it's mandated. It's for your health, and you're killing grandma if you disagree. But that first initial reaction, that instinctual, reflexive reaction, was the right one. That was the correct one. It takes a lot of like wearing people down to a point when they overcome that initial knee-jerk appropriate reaction to the things they propose. So it's a lot of similar stuff like that, where if you just tell the left what it is they support, they're like, oh my God, no, absolutely not. We would never. And it's like, it's right here in your manifesto. It's the first line. I'm not even kidding. I have a quote today. I have a video today. That is exactly what happens. A right winger says, you know, the left wing supports open borders. And left winger's like, open borders? Absolutely not. That is insane. I would never support that. And then the guy goes, here's your party's manifesto. The first line is, we dream of a world without borders. You crazy lady. This is how they all are. You just present them with the actual reality of what they support and they start to squirm. And boy, we're going to see some squirming today. I've got like a lot of videos all aligned with this one topic. It's really kind of fascinating. We'll get to all of that. We'll get to the indictments that have come down. Again, I'm seeing this increase, this uptick of the Trump administration trying desperately to look like they're doing something. They're clearly getting the poll numbers, the same ones that we are, that show that the Trump administration has achieved its lowest support of all time. The major nationwide polls for the first time today flipped so badly that the Democrats may actually take the Senate and not just the House this year. James Tallarico is now outperforming both Republican candidates for Senate here in Texas. And what did you expect when you took all of our votes and then betrayed us? I think it's all actually a part of a wider plan. I'm going to try to put that argument together through today's show as well. But we got a lot of stories to cover. Let's just get into it. Here it is, your Daily Dispatch.
Hello?
right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 28th of April, 2026. Justice Department indicts former FBI Director James Comey for a second time. Former FBI Director James Comey was indicted Tuesday over a photo of seashells officials said threatened President Donald Trump, marking the administration's second attempt to prosecute one of his largest political opponents, three sources first told CNN. The indictment was brought in the Eastern District of North Carolina, according to multiple sources familiar with the matter. Trump has long pressed for his political adversaries to face charges, including former FBI director he sees as a key leader in the perceived effort to weaponize the justice system against him, which of course he was. Now, what they're charging him for, what they're centering this case around, I suppose, is that Instagram post that James Comey put up with the seashells saying 8647. Everybody knows what 8647 means. 86, kill, 47, the president. That's obviously what it means. James Comey knows that's what it means. His excuse was ridiculous. He was just like, I didn't know what it meant. I just liked how the seashells looked. Utterly ridiculous, totally absurd. And yeah, it was an obvious call for violence, for an assassination against Donald Trump. And so good. Yes, the former FBI agent should not be allowed to issue calls to assassinate the president. I would think that would be a bare minimum requirement for anybody in that position. However, I think he's committed a lot more crimes than that, okay? And I don't know. I don't have a lot. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see, I guess. I guess they got the indictment, so that's something. I just have a feeling that he can say, well, I didn't know what it meant. I just thought it was shells. And it's like, how are you going to prove otherwise? I don't know. You get discovery and see his text messages about it. Maybe you can find something there. But I would like to see him go down for the leaking that he did and the weaponizing of the government against Donald Trump and other average American citizens and the lying under oath to Congress and the, again, weaponizing the whole spy state apparatus, helping to get FISA warrants for American citizens for a political purpose. That all seems to be like a lot bigger of a deal to me, but I'll take it. I'll take what we can get. And if we can indict James Comey for threatening to kill the president of the United States, I think that's it's a bare minimum type of thing we could achieve. That's great. Meanwhile, former senior NIAID official indicted for concealing federal records during the COVID-19 pandemic. These allegations represent a profound abuse of trust at a time when the American people needed it most during the height of the global pandemic, said Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche. As alleged in the indictment, Dr. Marins and his co-conspirators deliberately concealed information and falsified records in an effort to suppress alternative theories regarding the origins of COVID-19. Government officials have a solemn duty to provide honest, well-grounded facts and advice in service of the public interest, not to advance their own personal or ideological agendas. Again, another great thing, you know, maybe we're working our way up to Anthony Fauci, and that would be wonderful to see. Once again, I feel like the lie, the cover-up, the manipulation certainly was a crime, certainly provided for, you know, the misapplication of corrective measures when it came to the virus, which itself probably resulted in deaths. So, you know, this might want to be upgraded to some sort of like accessory to murder charge. But just like we say over and over again, lies exist in service of a crime. Yes, the lie is a crime, but it only exists to cover up a different crime. The actual crime was the fact that they made the virus in a lab and then released it on purpose. Okay, that's what I would love to see these people charged for. The lying was to cover up that initial crime and the knowledge that they had about it. So, again, very good to see. I just am withholding celebration until I actually see these guys in handcuffs, because we've been through this before. Meanwhile, King Charles promotes U.S.-UK unity in speech to Congress amid Iran tensions. King Charles visited here. He told the U.S. Congress on Tuesday that despite an age of uncertainty and conflict in Europe and in the Middle East, the U.K. and the U.S. will always be staunch allies, united in defending democracy at a time of deep division between the two long-time allies over the war with Iran. I, of course, think now that he's here, we should keep him. I think we should keep him. I think we should throw him in jail, personally, for all of the crimes that he's committed against the British people, or that if he's allowed to have been committed against his people during his time in power, but I'm not holding out hope for that either. I'm not holding hope out for that either. But I do think the people of Britain deserve and warrant our protection and involvement in kind of exactly the same way. I don't even agree with it when it came to Syria, but kind of like a Syria-type situation. We have kind of a Syria-type situation in the UK. And just like America, funneled guns to, you know, radical separatist groups in Syria who are not fans of and would do violence against the ruling regime. I think the UK is in a very similar position. Only the people of the UK are actually being killed by their government. They're actually being replaced wholesale in a genocidal fashion. So that was never the case in Syria, obviously. That was just a geopolitical matter in order to give Israel the breathing room to kill all of their neighbors. But in the case of the UK, I think there's a legitimate case to be made that the people of the UK and Ireland and really every country in Europe deserve America, deserve and really require Americans to be running guns to them so they can free themselves from the shackles of so-called democracy that are killing them. And yeah, we'll get back into that in a little bit. Meanwhile, U.S. pump prices near four-year high on Iran war disruption, refinery outages, and I imagine they just forgot to mention this. I mean, I'll add it for them here. Mostly it's the podcasters. Mostly I think this is the podcasters whose fault this is. I know, you know, you're out there, you're filling up the pump, you're seeing those numbers tick up, you're seeing the $4 plus on the sign, and you're thinking, those damn podcasters, if they just shut up already, if they just shut up and go along with the Iran war, I wouldn't be paying more for gas. It's probably those podcasters' fault, like Mark Levin keeps telling me. We're sorry, folks. It's us. It's us podcasters who desperately tried to prevent the war in Iran and have been arguing against the war in Iran since it started. It is actually our fault that the gas prices are high, so you can blame that one on us. And of course, former Fauci advisor indicted for allegedly concealing COVID-19 records, as we laid out earlier. I think I'm missing one. There was another, the other big, you know, indictment thing that's happening today is that apparently the DOJ is going after all of the Somali scam artists in Minnesota and is arresting people who run the Quality Leering Center, amongst other places. So these three things, the NIAID, James Comey, and the fraudsters, I think are good moves. And they are, you know, they would have been really powerful, solid, good moves in, let's say, February of last year. This is exactly what Donald Trump should have been doing in February of last year. It's good to see it happening now, but would have been better to see it over a year ago. And again, I just can't help but notice that gas is exploding and the polls are tanking and the Republican Party is fracturing, and their solution to this is to try to throw us some bones here. I'm not buying it personally. Once I see James Comey in handcuffs, once I see Dr. Marin's rotting away in a jail cell, once I see Anthony Fauci brought down and given a due punishment for the crimes against humanity that he helped oversee, then I'll be, you know, willing to, you know, feel like something is being achieved here. But as of yet, I see a lot of very attractive hot air. But so far, that's what we're working with. We can get some more details on this. Go to clip number 16 here. This is a Fox News report about James Comey having been indicted by a grand jury for his blatant death threat against the president of the United States. Let's watch.
Indicted former FBI Director James Comey for a second time. Our Justice Correspondent David Spence got the story. He's here in Washington. Hey, David, they're going to go at it again.
John, they're going at it again, not even a year after they went at it after the first time. We're told this via several law enforcement sources. We're told this is related to an Instagram post from the former FBI director last year. When he posted on the beach, you may remember there was a formation of shells that said 8647 that were in that pairing of 86-47, and he said something along the lines of, isn't this a curious formation that I just found while walking on the beach? Well, critics to that post immediately pointed out that 86, at least in the restaurant world, means to get rid of or to kill something from a menu, 47 meaning the 47th president of the United States. So Comey did speak with the Secret Service, did speak with federal investigators at the time. He was interviewed last spring or early last summer, shortly after that happened. No charges were ever filed, but now it appears that he has been indicted today. We're working to learn more about the indictment. We're waiting to see if officials have anything to say on this. That is the post that you see right there, Cool Shell Formation on My Beach Walk, from former Director James Comey. Now, you also remember that he was indicted last year as well for allegedly lying to Congress.
The man is a criminal kingpin. So, yes, his blatant threat to the president of the United States. Good. Get him on that, I guess, if that's the easiest thing to get him on. But again, I'll wait till he's in a jail cell to give any credence to this. Meanwhile, we can go to clip number 53 here. This is a video about senior advisor to Anthony Fauci having been indicted for his role in the COVID origin cover-up. This one I'm actually more excited about, because this one really is getting to the heart of the matter. It's just, you have to take it a step further. The lie was in service of the real crime. I'm glad they're being indicted on the lie. But let's get to the crimes against humanity already. It's been 6 years at this point that these crimes were committed. They're getting away with it. These people are getting away with it so far. Hopefully, Dr. Marin's is not. Let's watch clip 53.
Former top advisor to Dr. Anthony Fauci, now facing criminal charges. This over an alleged cover-up involving research into the origins of COVID. Rich Edson on this story. Intriguing, Rich. What you find out there in Washington?
Now, it is, Bill. The Justice Department has charged David Morins, a doctor, with conspiracy, claiming he concealed federal records to counter evidence that COVID-19 may have leaked from a lab in China, all to help restore a controversial coronavirus grant. Morins, a former aide to Dr. Anthony Fauci, testified before the House's COVID Select Subcommittee nearly 2 years ago about emails he'd sent in February 2021, claiming that he'd learned to make emails disappear after he received Freedom of Information Act requests.
Ever delete or attempt to delete a federal record?
No, but let me explain why. When I came there in 1998, we were instructed to delete emails and or to move them into PST files frequently because they jammed the computer.
The Justice Department says Morins used his personal Gmail account to exchange non-public information. The indictment also claims an unnamed co-conspirator gave Morins wine for his, quote, behind-the-scenes shenanigans, then suggested he could push scientific commentary in a prominent medical journal advocating that COVID-19 had natural origins. That's a competing claim with the lab leak theory. The indictment says the co-conspirator could also provide meals at top restaurants in Paris, New York, and Washington, D.C. In April 2020, the NIH terminated that back coronavirus grant awarded to EcoHealth Alliance, who then contracted the Wuhan Institute of Virology to conduct that research in China. From the start of the pandemic, its president, Peter Daszak, worked to discredit any theory that COVID-19 had leaked from that lab.
Okay. Bill. All right. Thank you, Rich. More to come. Rich Edson on that story from Washington, D.C. Thank you.
So again, just to go back and go over like exactly what was just covered and what they just talked about. Well, and first, from Mike Benz, he posted this, not too smart after all. And this is actually one of the emails from David Marins to Peter Daszak. P.S. I forgot to say there is no worry about FOIAs. I can either send stuff to Tony on his private Gmail or hand it to him at work or at his home. He's too smart to let colleagues send him stuff that could cause trouble. Right? Yeah, don't, yeah, you know, we're just trying to circumvent FOIAs here. We're, you know, don't worry about the open records laws that mean that we have to be open and public with the American people about what we're doing with their tax dollars. We'll just hide it from them and conceal it. Cause Fauci's too smart. He's too smart to let those colleagues send him stuff that could cause trouble. And not too smart to brag about it on email, dumbass. here's the obvious thing. If they didn't know where it came from, they wouldn't have covered up the lab leak. Do you get it? Do you understand? Do you understand if they're doing a murder investigation and they find out that I have the suspect's shoes and I burned them? And it's like, why did you burn? There's no reason to burn the shoes if you didn't know they were the suspects, because you're trying to cover up the crime, right? They wouldn't have had a reason to lie. They wouldn't have had a reason to say it's not the lab leak if they didn't know it was the lab leak. Like, this is the obvious thing. So they know it's a lab leak because they're the ones who run the lab. Now, Peter Daszak, and we've heard from whistleblowers that worked in very close proximity with him personally day to day, and they said that Peter Daszak said that it was the CIA that asked him to do it. And remember, Event 201, the practice session held in October of 2019, the entire thing was focused on how do we control the flow of information? How do we stop speculation about the origin, the virus origin, from getting out there? What if people think that the virus was man-made and that will make them less likely to take the vaccine? And really, this whole thing is about getting people to take the vaccine. So how do we deal with the speculation about the virus being man-made if and when it arrives? They said, totally not knowing that it was happening as they were speaking. So they committed a crime against humanity. They weaponized a virus on purpose. They released it strategically. They collaborated with all of the heads of big tech and media and governments around the world, as well as the WHO and the WEF, to release the virus on purpose, to crash the world economy, to massively consolidate small businesses up into the massive multinational conglomerates. They used the lockdown to get the mail-in ballots that they rigged so they could steal the election from Donald Trump. All of this was planned long before anybody had ever heard coronavirus as a word. And these people were engaged in the cover-up, the abject, blatant, deliberate cover-up of the truth, because it looked bad for them. And because if you'd known the truth, you might not have gone along with the prescriptions that they were trying to force down your throat. The lie is not the crime. The lie is the cover-up of the actual crime, which is a crime against humanity and should be treated like a Nuremberg trial. The stories at InfoWars, former senior advisor to Dr. Anthony Fauci, indicted on criminal charges over COVID cover-up, is ex-NIA head next. Dr. David Marenz, the former NIAID employee and top advisor to the agency's former head, Dr. Anthony Fauci, was indicted on Tuesday for attempting to evade Freedom of Information Act requests in connection to the COVID-19 research grants. So I do hope this goes deeper. I do hope this is just the beginning of a wider, sprawling series of indictments that will culminate with not the cover-up, but the crime itself. Now, again, what Trump is, what else Trump is up to? Quality Learing Center and 20 other Somali-linked businesses raided by FBI Homeland Security in Minnesota. Federal agents from the FBI and Homeland Security executed court-authorized search warrants at more than 20 locations across Minneapolis early Tuesday morning, targeting businesses primarily linked to the Somali American community as part of an ongoing criminal fraud investigation, which is pretty nice to see. You know, not complaining about that, except that, again, should have happened a lot earlier and with a lot more aggression, and probably shouldn't have been allowed to take place in the first place. But what are we going to use? What are we going to do? Use all of our incredible spy capabilities to actually find and identify crime? No, of course not. We're going to use it to try to destroy Trump and his supporters. Now, I've got a crazy video I'll show you on the other side about Karen Bass, mayor of L.A., who seems to possibly display some foreknowledge of the Palisade fires. A new leaked phone call from her 3 days before the fire has a lot of people asking some very interesting questions. I'll play that on the other side. But here's the reason everything's happening right here. The new Reuters poll shows Trump's approval rating has fallen to the lowest ever.
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it and you like it and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites
for decades with great sponsors because they really work, and we'll tell you what they are. Well, Bigley, our sponsor, has a really high-quality, private-label, top-selling brand that we were able to private label we're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis. But not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high-quality zeolite. Please do your own research. And then go to theolivestonestore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding and eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Inner Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bovine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this Zeolite detox formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber, lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time, so all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs, cancel any time, $30 a month, get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your Zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com. I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Dune, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Again, Trump does seem to be making some moves on the domestic front, which is good to see. Personally, I just think it's a little too late, is all. Which is, you know, which is good. I mean, he should be doing it. He's absolutely be doing it. I'd like to see a hell of a lot more of it. And of course, the Republican Party is just as, well, ridiculous and horrible as ever. So, you know, I've got videos of John Thune just rattling off a series of excuses as to why we're not passing the SAVE Act, but they are, you know, tabling the Dignity Act in the meantime. Totally absurd. And so, of course, it's not a coincidence. Shouldn't be a matter of inquiry, it's pretty obvious what's caused the collapse in support of the Republican Party to the extent now that they say for the first time the polls show that the Democrats will take the Senate, not just the House. A new Reuters Ipsos poll shows that Donald Trump's approval rating has fallen to 34%, the lowest of his current term. The drop is driven by public dissatisfaction with the rising cost of living and the U.S. conflict with Iran. And so you can, of course, sort of track this over time. And apparently he was, he had more approval than disapproval, I guess, for like the first week of his administration, his second administration. But ever since then, it's gone absolutely down. And you actually see this is a Biden style jump right there. That's type of jump that you get when you're rigging an election, right? You get that F-shaped jump, but that's the Iran war. That's him starting the Iran war, and you see a massive drop in approval and massive spike in disapproval, practically straight up and down because of just how unpopular that particular agenda item was, and of course, it's not getting any better. So now it seems like in a act of desperation, they're trying to act like they're doing something, anything, to help the American people, and we'll see. We'll see to, who knows what's going to come of it. But this is almost especially, annoying right now and devastating right now, because right now is the time when, if things had gone right, just imagine the other timeline, would you? Imagine the timeline where that first week of Donald Trump's administration continues at a pace. Can you imagine? Do you remember they started off the administration with the flood the zone strategy? And the idea was they were going to be doing so much stuff at such a rapid clip that the lamestream mainstream media wouldn't even be able to keep up. And by the time they learned about one thing and started complaining about that, you'd be doing something else that they hated even more. That was a good strategy. That was the only week that he had a positive approval rating. And it's gone downhill since then. So imagine the world where Donald Trump just unapologetically reassigns a portion of the military to massively deport every single illegal alien that arrived since 2016. Just what if? I think we could do it. I know all of the excuses as to why we can't do it are all fake. So there's that. We don't have resources? Bull crap. We don't have the manpower? Bull crap. We don't have the will? Bull crap. It's what you got elected on. So just imagine a world where DOGE systematically eliminates billions upon billions upon billions of dollars of funding for left-wing groups, where deportations happen at a rapid pace, so rapid, so overwhelming that protesters are afraid to go protest or can't even keep up with it. By the time they arrive in one place, ICE is in another. Because all the illegals are gone out of this neighborhood. I mean, just imagine if really we'd hit the ground running, foot to the pedal, pedal to the floor, gung-ho for the last year. I mean, imagine what we could have accomplished. Imagine if he'd used the same tactics to pressure universities to stop hating white people or disparaging men and to stop discriminating against white people and actually, fulfill the mandate required by their foundation and funding from the federal government. Imagine a world where Donald Trump and his administration and the Republicans, along with him, put all of their effort and all of their energy and all of their unbelievable power into helping the American people and just systematically solving all of the problems that we have. I can imagine a world like that. I did when we elected Donald Trump. I imagined how it could be. And then unfortunately we had this little hiccup. This little caveat, okay, little asterisk next to everything Trump did, called Israel and the Jewish lobby, and we just can't get anything done, and it sucks, but that's where we are. And again, the reason this sucks especially bad is because the left wing right now is still very much in shambles. Now, they still poll really well, and again, like I said, things like the Texas Senate race is now showing that James Tallarico, a ridiculous fraud, insane snake oil con man, crazy anybody even looks twice at this guy, but okay, maybe he's going to win the election now because of how badly Trump and the Republicans have done with the mandate that we gave him with the full House you know, royal flush that we gave them with the House and the Senate and the Supreme Court and everything. So is this really gonna make up for it? Going after James Comey for something that you should have gone after him for last year? Like, I can imagine a world where Trump actually did everything that he wanted to do, and in that case, we'd be cruising into 2026 just racking up wins, you know? Be like that feeling after you hit the jackpot on the whatever it's called. You pull the lever and the thing spin. What is that called? I can't think of what's that called right now. Crew, what are those things called? Tell me right now. They don't know. They've never heard of them. A prize wheel. He just said prize wheel in my ear. I'm not moving on until I find out what the term is I'm trying to say. The crew doesn't know. The crew doesn't know. The audience is yelling at their TV right now because we don't know what the word is where you put the coin in and you pull the lever. Slot machine. Thank you, crew. The slot machine. We'd be sitting here like we just won the jackpot in the slot machine and the coins are just spilling out. The coins in this metaphor are the Democratic voters that are coming over to us because after a year of insanity from the left as they're pulling their hair out about everything Trump has done successfully and they're sitting there going, my traffic is less, my rent is less, food is less expensive, gas is less expensive, he stopped all of these wars, there's no traffic anymore because he got rid of all these illegal aliens, my kid isn't getting beat up at school anymore, the school scores are going up. This is amazing. I can't believe I ever doubted this man. I guess he was right all along, and I guess the Republicans were right, and I'll be voting Republican from now on. We'd be sitting here just going, welcome to the party, water's fine, come on in. Instead, we're at each other's throats. Half the Republican Party now are just not Republican, and they admit it, like Alan Dershowitz, who's just like, yeah, I joined the Republican Party, even though I'm still a Democrat in every possible conceivable way. I am pro-Israel first and foremost, so I'm joining the Republican Party on that note alone, but I still am basically a diehard socialist communist and will continue to support those things. I just care about Israel more than I care about America. I mean, that's, and I'm only kind of not quoting him exactly. That is pretty much exactly what he said. That's exactly what Sergey Brin now says. He's now joined the Republican Party, apparently. Now, all these people despise the Republican Party. They despise everything it stands for. They say that themselves. In their announcement where they say that they are becoming Republican, they say, we're not actually Republican. We don't actually believe these things. We just do it out of convenience for the sake of Israel. So that's who we're getting. Meanwhile, we're losing the MAHA moms and all the people that came over, the libertarians that came over, the Bitcoiners that came over, the entire coalition that got Trump his presidency has all been systematically eliminated, replaced by Israel first scumbags. And this is at a time when Democrats are still in absolute shambles. If we had kept our eye on the ball and if Donald Trump had served the American people and not Israel, we would be a one-party state at this point. I mean, we wouldn't be worried about anything. Again, we would be cruising towards massive reelection. It'd be the one time that it bucks the trend. Like, I think part of it is Trump just sort of accepted. He was like, yeah, and he says it all the time. Any interview you see where he talks about the midterms, he's like, well, the midterms always flip the House. Like, he just like accepts that as a rule. So it's almost like he just is like, yeah, so it doesn't matter. That always happens. It's like, that didn't have to happen. That absolutely didn't have to happen. If you'd done the right thing, it wouldn't have happened. So I'm not going to tell you to vote for or against the Republican Party. I'm just saying the vast majority of people who were motivated to vote in 2024, they ain't motivated anymore. And going after the SBLC for funding the KKK is not going to win anybody over. Especially if it doesn't come to fruition and is kind of a shaky case to bring in the first place. Let's go to clip number 5 here. This is Glenn Greenwald explaining the lack of, meat on the bone when it comes to this SPLC indictment. Let's watch.
The basic idea is that the Southern Poverty Law Center, while claiming to combat hate groups and white supremacy, was actually paying people in these groups, either to join the group or who are already in the group, to serve as their informant, their eyes and ears. You know, it's kind of like when the FBI uses informants in a drug gang or a terrorist group or whatever, and the informant's there for whatever reasons. He's getting paid. He got caught committing an unrelated crime and they're promising leniency, or they planted him there. He actually went to a mosque or went, you know, to the drug trade specifically with the intention of infiltrating it as an informant. So it seems very clear, because even the Southern Poverty Law Center admits that they were paying people inside these groups, including the planning of the Charlottesville rally that caused so much allegations about Donald Trump and about the right-wing movement, because it ended in a vehicular homicide of a woman who was protesting, counter-protesting the rally. And the Southern Poverty Law Center was paying people in the Ku Klux Klan, in these white supremacist groups, as part of the Charlottesville rally, to be their informant. Paying people to be your informant is not illegal, nor is it really considered untoward. It's an important part of investigative work. Whether a activist group should be paying informants, I think I could argue both sides of that, but it's not criminal. That part is not criminal. What the indictment has to demonstrate is what the FBI is trying to argue, what Kash Patel is publicly alleging, which is that it wasn't just that they were paying informants, they were funneling money to these groups and basically fueling them or supporting them or even at times directing them when they were telling the public they were combating these groups and collecting money on that basis. I do think that one of the main problems with these activist groups, I've talked about this before with LGBT groups, like mainstream gay rights groups, like the Human Rights Campaign and GLAAD, is that the NAACP, same thing, is that they are highly motivated to ensure that the problem or the threat that they claim to be combating remains strong. Because if racism is not a major force in American life, or if homophobia is not a major force in American life, then you don't need these groups anymore. The donors will stop giving, the jobs will dry up, might as well just close the doors. But also, you can go back. Alex Jones and other people on the right, I think Mike Cernovich is one another, were warning people, don't go to Charlottesville. It's a trap. There's feds there. There's informants there. It's designed to demean and put into and to discredit this movement against immigrants or whatever. And they turned out to be right. In fact, I think Alex Jones actually said that the Southern Poverty Law Center was involved in a lot of these groups. So there is something deceitful about it. Whether it's criminal is going to depend on whether the government can prove that the intent really was not to combat these groups, the KKK and white supremacist group, but to strengthen them.
Which, again, I think is going to be hard for them to prove that. And, of course, I think the most important part about what he just said is the fact that these groups have to have the thing they're fighting in order to exist. And now I'm wondering where to go from here, because I was going to go into more immigration stuff, since SPLC is a lot about immigration and we're talking about that. But I also want to get into just all the clips I have of the left, you know, reacting negatively to their own positions, which is crazy, which I think goes along directly into this, since just all of the left is just a series of frauds, like just fraud on top of fraud. It's fraud helping frauds get away with other frauds. I mean, it's just crazy. And the SPLC is one of these organizations where it's like they manufacture the supposed hate that they fight. They use that supposed hate to get money from donors or from the government. And then they use that money to either buy off politicians and, you know, just keep the cycle going, or create more hate crimes and keep the cycle going that way. The entire Democratic apparatus exists primarily founded on a series of hoaxes, and they're long, long existing hoaxes. And we've explained this before many times, especially when it comes to Donald Trump. And the example I always use is when January 6th happened, and I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was like, well, this is what Trump does. He calls for violence. Do you remember what happened during the campaign in 2016? We're in 2021, and he's referencing lies about Trump from 2016, because that's the foundation. Because every lie that he hears about Donald Trump piles on top of all the other lies he hears about Donald Trump, to where you can go through and systematically, like, remove each one of those lies. At the end of the day, the structure is not really going to change. You'd have to literally go through all of it. And even then, it doesn't really matter, because what's happened is he's already absorbed the understanding, the holistic, you know, comprehensive understanding that Trump is a bad guy who calls for violence. Because he's seen the examples of it so many times. And again, you go through systematically and go, he wasn't calling for violence here. This wasn't him calling for violence. here's where the left was attacking his people when they attacked back. They were defending themselves. You could go through systematically and prove that every single instance. But will that make a difference? Will they go, oh my God, everything I believe was a lie. He's never called for violence. I'm the bad guy. Like that just doesn't happen really ever. So the SPLC, I mean, Charlottesville, how much has been piled up on Charlottesville? Now, the way it should work is that if you've got the Biden presidential campaign built on Charlottesville, and you've got the Nazi nonsense built on Charlottesville, and you've got the censorship on the internet, Parler, like being deleted from the internet, I guess that was January 6th, but you've got all these things piled on top of it, you would think that removing that foundational brick, moving that keystone, would make everything else crumble. But it's this amazing anti-gravity construction that the Democrats have where you can remove that bottom block and everything just maintains. It just stays the same. Even though everything up there is predicated on this thing, this thing's a lie. It should mean all that rest stuff is fake, but it doesn't matter. But it doesn't matter to them. So that's just how it is. This is how it goes. So again, you can prove incontrovertibly that the SPLC is the source of every piece of racism that they've ever heard. It doesn't matter to them. They don't care. They don't care. Okay. So just understand what we're dealing with here is a decade worth of psychological operations, all as fraudulent as this, right? All of them have organizations like the SPLC backing it and making people insane and, you know, pushing lies and being treated like respected authorities by the mainstream media. It's all completely ridiculous and absurd. Let's go to some of these Greg Bovino clips. Let's go first to clip 60. This is an interview from Lauren Witzke with Greg Bovino, the head of the Border Patrol who was forced to retire recently. Here's Lauren Witzke asking him a very important question about the impact of migration to this country. Let's watch.
You want to be a part of what makes America great. It should cost you something. These people are coming in. They're just, yeah, like we saw in with the Somalian fraud in Minnesota, like they're parasites and they don't care.
Sure.
These people do not care. Do you feel that like the people you encounter when you were deporting, are these people that loved America and want to be a part of America? And they're, you know, I hear that all the time. They're like, oh, well, you know, they have a right to be here just the same as I. No. Like, do these people care?
Absolutely. You're really hitting the nail on the head. It's lost in this overall conversation, and I'm glad you touched on it. It's that culture. It's our culture. Our culture is at stake here. And when you bring that many from another culture that don't care about your culture, you've got a problem. And you ask me, do we see that? So we saw that on the ground in every single city we were in. Why someone would come out and fly a foreign flag in the streets to protest or whatever they were doing when immigration officers were there is beyond me. Yep. But what that did do is it let me know that there's something else afoot here, and our culture is definitely in jeopardy by those hundreds of millions of foreigners that, as you say, don't care about your culture. They don't care about your history, your customs, values, beliefs, whatever. They don't care. You know, Edward and Lauren, maybe your grandfather died at Iwo Jima, your great-great-great-grandfather died at Gettysburg, or I don't know, maybe even an ancestor died at Kings Mountain in the Revolution. Do you think they care about that? Do you think those hundreds of millions of illegal aliens here care that your ancestors gave everything for this country? I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing...
They don't even bother to learn our language.
Well, some of them want a new Gettysburg.
Exactly.
Yeah, they don't even care.
They wouldn't even know. And they don't care that your grandfather died at Iwo Jima or Gettysburg, or who the founding fathers even are, they don't care. And I think, to me, that is a greater threat to our society and to what we have going in America that we built, that Americans built. Let me say that again. Americans built that. You know, there's an argument creeping in.
Migrants built this
country. Yes, absolutely not. Americans built that. Settlers built that. So we need to keep it that way because there is a large percentage of individuals, again, that don't care. That, to me, is a greater threat than a violent criminal.
And you have to understand, the thing about them not caring, you don't have to care about them either. Okay? It's a sign of disrespect. If somebody wants to come to this country and genuinely appreciates it and genuinely wants to be an American, we can make a deal. I mean, America, is a land of immigrants. Whether we like that or not, that certainly is the case. But not 100 million immigrants in a population of 300 million. That's utterly unsustainable. And you have to come here with respect and admiration for our country. That is just an obvious bare minimum requirement. And all you have to do is put yourself in their shoes. Would you, as an American person, go to another country that you despise? Would you disparage their heroes? Would you try to tear down their statues? Of course you wouldn't, because you're a decent person. These people will, because they're not decent people. They don't deserve your respect. They don't deserve your compassion. They're just your enemy that thinks you're stupid and is taking advantage of you. So just learn that lesson and understand they don't care. They actually hate it. They actually hate you, and they actually are trying to replace you on purpose because they're bad people. Obviously, America wasn't built by immigrants, whatever that means. What they mean is by non-white people. It's right. This country was built by Somalians, except, and this is the thing that you have to understand, the influx of migrants is extremely recent. I mean, up until like the 80s, places like El Paso was still like 86% white, okay? El Paso, which is like 5% white now. So, like, to say that this country was built, this country pretty much only accepted white people until 1965. Anything that's been built by migrants, you know, really is from 1965 on, 1970 on, which everything has sucked, by the way, since then, as far as I can tell. But then the really absurd thing about it all is they're saying this about people that are arriving today. This is the real absurd thing you need to understand when they say this. When they say immigrants built this country, they're saying that in advocacy of people who have never been to the United States and arrived yesterday and arrived to a country they've never been, where their ancestors have never been, and they look around and say, I built this. We built this. They've never even been here. But the really, really important thing to understand is that this is only possible in a country that has already been stripped of its identity, that refuses to be confident in itself, that refuses to celebrate and uplift its own identity, its own character, its own culture. We have allowed our culture to be diminished and denigrated and mocked and crushed to the point where, of course, people don't respect it. We don't respect it either, which you're going to miss it when it's gone is all I'll say. And again, my favorite example, because it's so visceral and real and annual at this point, is the fact that Mexicans shoot off fireworks on Christmas Eve, which is great for them. If I'm ever in Mexico, I'm sure I'd love to see it and it'd be a lot of fun. But that's not what we do here. But they don't care. They don't care. The way we celebrate Christmas is very quiet. It's very wholesome. It was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. It's quiet. It's peaceful. It's calm. And then the Mexican neighbors down the street, it's like, oh my God, they are destroying our traditions. It's destroying our traditions, and there's no respect for the culture and practices and, you know, religious circumstances here. It's just an imposition because screw you, you're an American, you're trash. And that's the feeling that we have allowed them to adopt because it's the feeling that we have adopted ourselves. On the other side, we'll talk about celebrating our culture and uplifting American culture and reminding everybody of why American culture is, bar none, the best in the world.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Second hour is on. Let me start with the opposite of what we want to support. Let's start with clip 66 here. This is something that is, I don't know, maybe this has, I don't think this has ever existed in history. At least not to the degree that it does here. And that's because if it did exist in history, humanity would have died off a long time ago. I have trouble like even trying to express this because it's so deep seated. It's so unspeakably evil that I can't even put it into words. But let's go to clip 66 here. Here's a white European woman who has succumbed to all of the propaganda. Let's watch.
Just a little tidbit of information at 44 years old. I have lots of eggs left. I'm very fertile. I got it tested. And I want you to know I'm not going to have any of your babies. I'm not going to reproduce my amazing genetic composition for this country. It's just not going to happen. Sorry. And you'll kill me before you'll rape me. The end.
Yeah, she just sits there blinking for like 10 seconds. That was not the video, for our radio listeners, that was not the video ending and me being silent. That was, she just sits there and smiles for like 10 seconds. Okay, so genetic dead end. She's proud of being a genetic dead end. She denies reality and that at 44, you are a geriatric pregnancy. You're lucky if you're going to get one in. It's not going to be a healthy pregnancy. It's much more likely to have autism. So what are you talking about? So she's denying reality there. She's like, I'm going to deny my genetics to help America. This is what I mean. Do I even need to explain it? Like it's suicidal. It's retarded. It's like counter to continuing existence. So good riddance, lady, but I feel sorry for you. It's just cope, you understand. It's just cope. She has fallen for all of the lies. She has fallen for all of the misdirection. She is going to die alone and miserable. And even at 44, it is likely too late for her to, you know, start the process of meeting a man that she'd want to have kids with. She's probably at least 2 years away from even being married, let alone having kids 9 months after that, ideally. So, yeah, that ain't happening, lady. So I hope it's just cope. I hope you're just coping with your bad life decisions, but maybe you shouldn't. Maybe if what you're feeling is an intense existential dread and unrelenting regret, maybe give advice for women to not follow the path that you're on, because I don't need to hear any more from you. You ain't happy, and your attempt to convince everybody that you're happy just makes you sound like a suicidal idiot who should go away for the benefit of the rest of us. Let's go to the opposite now, shall we? Let's go to Monty Fritz, who's running for Tennessee governor, who actually respects our people and our culture. It's wonderful to see. Let's watch.
We're losing our culture in Tennessee and in America. We've over-immigrated. Not only should we deport all the illegals, we should suspend all the H-1B visas and suspend legal immigration until we can restore our cultural values. As your next governor in the state of Tennessee, I will use every resource at my disposal to ensure that we extricate the illegals from the state of Tennessee and that we have a strong voice against Washington for the continued legal immigration that is harming our culture. And as I've carried legislation that made a sentence enhancement of life without parole for illegals who commit violent crimes in Tennessee, we're going to make this a not favorable place for illegals to come and take our money for education, for health care, and for housing. We have got to do that.
That's Monty Fritz for governor. I'll tell you, if I was in Tennessee, he'd have my vote. That's what we should be talking about it.
If you suffer from low energy, if you're not feeling the energy that you used to feel in your younger years, you should try this product and see if it makes a difference for you, because there are many causes of lack of energy, but one of them can be a lack of cellular energy support through pre-methylated nutritional supplements like this that can help you. You can go buy a bottle of vitamins at any store, you know, any Walmart, anywhere that's got cheap B12, which is cyanocobalamin, or the cheap B vitamins, or the cheap minerals like calcium carbonate, which is ground up limestone, you know. Alex Jones doesn't use the cheap low-end versions of these products. And I know this as a nutritionist, as a food scientist. I look at Alex's labels and I'm like, yes, these are the high-end ingredients that I would be using in my own formulations. So really, I'm always impressed with what the Alex Jones store is doing with their product line. So check it out. TheAlexJonesStore.com, Ultra Methylene Red.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is The War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I had a harrowing event last night. So I get home from work. I usually get home, you know, show ends here about 6:30 or about 6. I head out. I usually get home when my family's already eating. That's what was happening last night. Only I got 3 kids, right? Son's 5 years old. I got a 3-year-old daughter and a 1.5-year-old daughter. The 3-year-old daughter had to go to the bathroom. So when I walked in the house, my 3-year-old is with my wife in the bathroom down the hall, and I go over to say hi to them. And, I'm like, where are the other kids? And my wife's like, oh, they're eating dinner. And then my son comes running around the corner and is like, she's choking. She's choking on food. So we run over there. And sure enough, my daughter, 1.5-year-old, is like turning blue and not breathing. So we flip her over and pound her on the back. The way you do Heimlich maneuver to kids, that we're doing. And, it's not really working, but luckily we have this device that my mom got us when our son was first born. So for 5 years, we've had this device sitting in our closet, and it's like an anti-choking device for kids. And it's basically somebody referred to it as a plunger for your windpipe. It's kind of what it is. You just put it up against kids' mouth, you pull, and the vacuum suction. So that worked. So I grabbed that and I did that, and baby starts wailing and she's fine. So thank God. Thank God for my son being a little hero. And running next door and banging. The next door neighbors were like, we thought the cops were at our house, because my son was banging on the door to get their attention. When I sent him over there. Anyway, it was chaotic. It was wild. It was madness. And so I'm sitting there like, I'm like, this device is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And if the crew wants to pull up my ex, I tweeted out a video of it, or a picture of it. And it's this crazy device. And I'm like, this device is amazing. And later I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I got to tell people about this device, because if we hadn't had it, I don't know what would have happened. And I got a big following. There's somebody out there with a kid. They need to know about this, because this could be the difference between life and death. And part of me is like, I wonder if there's some sort of referral I could get. I wonder if because I know I'm about to tell this story about how it literally saved the life of my child. You really can't get a more compelling story than that for buying a product. Like, hey, you want your child not to die? Get this product. But then I'm just like, but I, you know, But what if I wait 24 hours? What if I reach out and I go, hey, I like this product. Can I get a referral coupon? Can I get 10% of the sales I send you or whatever? And then I'm thinking, what if in that 24 hours, somebody who would have seen my message doesn't, and a kid dies because I was selfish and wanted to try to, you know, make a little money. So I ended up just tweeting it out. So we're not sponsored by them, obviously, and you can get whatever brand or whatever, but just a little PSA here for all the people listening out there. If you got grandkids or kids, anybody young, I think it works for adults too. I gotta tell you, get this device because without it, I'm not sure I would have come into work today. Let's just say that. And of course, when stuff like that happens, it's like every minute from that point out, like my kids are just getting away with anything from that point on. It's like, what are we going to do? Punish them? What are we going to do? Be annoyed at them? It's like, no, thank God everybody's healthy. And it really gives you a whole new perspective on things. But that being said, we got to sell some of these. We got to maybe in the Alex Jones store with a new network. Maybe I can have my own branded version so I could actually make money from my suggestion here. But tell you what, in lieu of me getting a percentage of the sales I probably made from that, if you appreciate that type of advice, maybe go get some methylene blue. Maybe go buy some methylene blue at thealexjonesstore.com. Just as a little thanks if you were so inclined. You can go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Right now, it is the biggest mega sale in InfoWars history. And while we might not sell any anti-choking devices, the stuff that we have could very well save your life. It will definitely change it if you take it as directed. And certainly if you're lacking some of these key ingredients, some of these essential ingredients that we have in our supplements, you will feel the change. And it very well might save your life, depending on how bad you got it. Right now, you're getting a free InfoWars dog tag and America 250 coin. Every order over $100 gets these two free gifts, an InfoWars dog tag and the America 250 coin. Plus, we're pre-selling silver rounds and Faraday bag. You can get these together, brand new InfoWars silver round, which, of course, if you want anything from InfoWars, you got to get it now since we are days away, practically hours away from no longer selling InfoWars branded products. Get yours today while you still can. All InfoWars branded products are 20% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us and keep us going into the future. thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Let's get into Mayor Karen Bass here because a leaked phone call has been unveiled, has been published. PJ Media has the article. Karen Bass faces serious questions after leaked phone call on Palisades fire. Both President Donald Trump and Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass came out of meetings in April expressing optimism that the federal government will come to the aid of feckless and duplicitous mayor and attempt to further help jumpstart the recovery of the Palisades after a devastating 2025 fire wiped out just about everything. And we actually have the audio of this that we can play you here. This is the story from Gateway Pundit. Recording a phone call reveals Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass was warned about dangers of wildfires before her trip to Ghana. So the recording you're about to hear is clip 22 is 3 days before the Palisades fire. So 3 days before the Palisades fire, she's about to leave for Ghana, and she gets a call from a citizen who lives in the Palisades. In the leaked audio, Bass was reportedly talking to John Ale, a local resident and property manager in the in Santa Monica and Westlake areas. Ali himself confirmed this here. Reports are that Ale called Bass on January 4th, 2025, warning her about the risks tied to the weather, the wind, and dry conditions. In the call, Al said he tried to convince Bass not to leave for Africa, and in the secretly recorded audio, she told Al that she had no intention of canceling her trip in spite of all his warning. To be sure, we've not been able to verify with 100% certainty the validity of this leaked audio, but it's worth noting that neither Bass nor her office has disputed the call's authenticity and the content of the audio. So here's clip 22, the leaked phone call from between a citizen in California and Mayor Karen Bass, days before the Palisades fire destroyed that entire community. Let's watch.
The situation is very dangerous, and I will take the criticism before I do a publicity stunt. And frankly, a press conference at this point in time would just be publicity.
I think, I think the neighbors, mm-hmm, the property owners, and the residents, I mean, 41,000 people live within a square mile here.
Two families
share a one-bedroom apartment.
But they want to hear that something is going to be done.
They want to know it's recognized.
Exactly. But if I have a choice between that and compromising something, I just have to go along with it. It's not my area of expertise. I want to make sure that you are safe. And hopefully you can read in between the lines. But I would just appreciate, just, and it's hard for me to tell you this, but hold tight. You will understand soon.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
And when I am able to talk, I will be happy to go into great detail.
Okay. And you've got me on the street, and you're welcome to call me at any time. I'll call you right back.
No problem. And just in terms of my trip, just so you know, I'm missing 2 work days. That's it. And if President Biden extends me an invitation, I took it.
Okay, so let's see if we can untangle this, because there's some very bizarre statements in that call. Now, obviously, we don't have the beginning of the call, but using context clues, I think we can understand what happened. So it begins with Karen Bass saying, "The situation is very dangerous, and I would never do. I will take the criticism before I do a publicity stunt, and frankly, a press conference at this time would just be publicity." So it sounds like this guy called her and said, "Hey, there's really dangerous fire conditions here. I think you should do a press conference to let people know that it's dangerous." And according to him, that's what he was calling her about. And so she says a press conference at this time would just be publicity. And she basically says, but they want to hear that something is going to be done. So he's saying, "Hey, there's these really dangerous fire conditions. There's a lot of people living here. Maybe you should go do a press conference where you warn people about this just to raise awareness and let people know, you know, something is being done about it." And she's like, "Well, we're not doing anything about it. So it'd be kind of weird for me to do a press conference, talk about the problems, but not actually present a solution for it." Which, again, if the intention of the press conference is just to raise awareness, then that's an invalid excuse. That doesn't make any sense. It sounds like she's just trying to come up with a reason not to do it. But remember that at this time, the reservoirs had been totally depleted, and they had allowed the, you know, firefighting, you know, the water they need for firefighting to go completely dry. And so a warning like this should have been a chance for Karen Bass to prevent what eventually happened and actually do something to either try to stock the reservoirs or just make sure you had something available on backup. But there was none of that. Of course, on top of all of this, there's no water in the reservoirs to feed the fire hydrants, making the blazes almost impossible to stop. It was not just a failure of leadership. It was borderline criminal. And I would agree. And with that phone call, I think the criminality is manifest. I mean, it's not necessarily cut and dry evidence of foreknowledge, but what does she mean when she says, "If I have a choice between that and compromising something, I just have to go along with it. It's not my area of expertise. I want to make sure that you are safe, and hopefully you can read between the lines. But I would just appreciate, and it's hard for me to tell you this, but hold on tight. You will understand soon." What innocent explanation is there for that statement, for those statements? What does that mean? I guess she's a politician. She's trying to say something without actually saying anything. She's trying to get across. But like, when you say, "Hopefully you can read between the lines," yeah, that means she's saying something that she's not saying out loud. So what is that thing that she wants him to read between the lines about? That, I guess, is the speculation here. But when she says, "It's hard for me to tell you, hold on tight, you'll understand soon," and 3 days later, the Palisades goes up in flames and is completely wiped out, and now, 2 years later, they're not even issuing permits to rebuild as they intend to turn the whole area into a smart city that may have been the purpose from the beginning. Yeah, I'd like to see this investigated, and I'd like to see her put under oath and asked to testify as to what she meant by read between the lines, and you'll understand soon. I mean, that is bonkers. That is truly crazy. But in the most innocent interpretation, she simply was forewarned by a citizen about the threat of fire, and she completely ignored it, did nothing about it. And in that way, in addition to the lack of water in the reservoirs, lack of care or concern or, you know, appropriate measures taken to prevent wildfires, like on top of all the other things she did to create the circumstances where the fire could destroy the Palisades, she had foreknowledge and refused to do anything about it. That alone, I would think, would be evidence of criminal negligence at the very least. So that's the most generous interpretation. The least generous interpretation is it sounds like she was hinting that she kind of knew something was happening and couldn't tell the guy. But that's why she wasn't warning about the fire, because the fire may have been on purpose, actually. And I want to go now to clip number 21. This is Spencer Pratt, friend of the show, friend of InfoWars. He's running against Karen Bass for L.A. mayor. I assume she's running again, since these people never give up power. But he's running for mayor of L.A., and here's what he has to say about the lack of progress made in the rebuilding of the Palisades here 2 years on, clip 21.
We don't have anybody in L.A. that fights Sacramento, and these dreams in Sacramento become nightmares of Los Angeles. They have these utopian versions right. of how we should live in Los Angeles, but nobody fights them in Sacramento. And again, as mayor, I'm going to be in their I'm going to be on their territory. Let me tell you, I'm not just going to be fighting the city council. We need to fight these, whoever's the new governor. I may have to fight that person, the lieutenant governor. I'm going to have to fight that person. I'm going to have to fight these lawmakers, because all these things they're doing are destroying Los Angeles. And no one from L.A. goes to Sacramento and fights these imaginary politicians.
No, Karen Bass is fighting Trump. That's her plan.
You know how, so I was just at this community thing, and one of the people was on a commission. This is one of the craziest things I've heard. And after the Palisades fire, there was a Zoom with all the commissioners. She said there was like 150. She said, you can ask my 12-year-old daughter. She witnessed it. And Karen Bass gets on, and she says, oh, yeah, Trump just said about rushing the permits. Da da da. It was after that firehouse. And she's like, I'm not going to do any of what he said. And that lady who was at that meeting said, that's when I resigned from the commission. She said it was the most, she said, these are all these people who lost their homes, and she's doing this politics right. thing about 7,000 homes burned down.
She's doing F Trump. I know. They look at their number one, their raison d'etre, and the number one goal for being in their position is to fight Trump, not to help Los Angelinos. And by the way, Trump showed up and Trump said, let's get this cleaned up and let's get going and let people do it tonight and let's expedite this whole permit process. And then she went, okay, fuck that guy. And now she's just doing the opposite. So, you know, if Trump said to a vegan, I love that cow, the vegan would shoot the cow. That's how nuts these people are.
Yeah, that's a funny way to put it. But I mean, you know, literally it's like, well, Trump wants us to not cut ourselves with a knife, so let's do it. And it's just like, what? No, yeah, you should expedite the permits. You want to rebuild. That is just the most common, but they don't want to give Trump a perceived victory. And so they will literally ruin the lives of their own constituents. I mean, that could, you know, you're talking about delaying permits. You're talking about a year of someone's life. You're talking about somebody living in a hotel with a storage unit. You're talking about costing them money, maybe forcing them to leave, like huge burdens on the citizens. And it's fine. It's a price she's willing to pay to win a non-existent political contest against Trump. Like, what is she even proving? It's one of these bizarre things where it's like, okay, Trump is criticizing you and basically insinuating or intimating that like you're going to slow walk things and the permits are not going to get filed. And so you do exactly what he said you were going to do. It doesn't even make sense on the face of it, but it's this petulant obstructionism that defines their entire worldview. And it's part of why they, the left, is completely unmoored and ridiculous at this point. And they truly are ridiculous. That's just one example where literally they're just like, well, Trump wants you to rebuild your burned house, so that's not happening. It's like, okay, crazy. It's totally crazy. But the left is completely and utterly and outrageously insane. And frankly, I think kind of stupid. And this is the type of thing that first I didn't jump on it because I thought, okay, you know, I want to go after stuff that's real. I want to go after, like, if Karen Bass is sitting there going, I'm not going to issue permits because Trump says to do it and I'm not going to do anything that man says. It's like, okay, that's something to talk about because that's something that affects people's lives. It reveals the underlying mentality of the left. It, you know, it's important. It's pertinent. It's insightful. That's the type of stuff I like to cover. Yesterday, Ilhan Omar said World War 11 when she meant World War II. Is that the most important thing? I don't know. I kind of breezed over it. I kind of went, okay, I don't even get that. Like, what? She must have misspoken or something. Then I realized. Then it hit me. And it's because you write World War II with Roman numerals. And it's World War II, and she read that as 11. I didn't realize that for a second. When I finally realized what was actually happening, because I guess the first time I read it, the person had written WW and then the number 2. And when you see it in a Roman numerals, it's like, oh, she literally doesn't know Roman numerals. And she did a Anchorman where she just read what was on the paper without it ever connecting to anything in her brain. You know, she didn't interpret what she was reading. She just read it. So let's go to this video. Clip 23 here. Libs of TikTok posted this. This is Ilhan Omar referring to World War 11. Let's watch.
The last time the Alien Enemies Act was invoked, it was used to detain and deport German, Japanese, Italian immigrants during World War 11.
During World War 11. Yep. Pretty much. Now, the funny thing is, this is from a user named Damien Slash. Because if you remember, AOC made a fool of herself when she talked about cowboys not coming from Spain. And so they actually went in and changed the Wikipedia entry for Vaquero to strip it of its historical accuracy because they wanted to be able to point to it and say, see, AOC was right. And so maybe they'll just do that for World War II. From now on, it's World War 11 because we can't have Ilhan Omar being wrong about something and looking like a total idiot. So we'll have to change things around. Now it's World War 11, and you're a racist bigot if you say otherwise. Let's go to clip 64 here.
Ilhan Omar was not actually wrong to say World War 11. There have been 11 world wars, okay? Number one was the Crusades. Number two was the Mongol invasion. Number three was the Hundred Years' War. Number four was the 30 Years' War. Number five was the 9 Years' War. Number six was the War of Spanish Succession. Number seven was the War of Austrian Succession. Number eight was the 7 Years' War. Number nine was the American Revolutionary War. Number 10 is what you call World War I, and World War 11 is what you call World War II because you don't know deep history, okay? Ilhan Omar and a lot of us on Reddit know deep history, and we have always referred to World War II as World War 11 for this reason, because we understand there have been many world wars, and you don't. So to call her stupid is kind of ironic when you're the moron for not knowing your history. So go and read a history book and come back to me and come back to Ilhan Omar and tell her she's wrong. Because actually, you're wrong. You're uneducated, and you're a bigot.
That's right. You're darn tootin'. I couldn't help myself cracking up when he says, there's a lot of us on Reddit that know our history, okay? You want world history from an unbiased, accurate perspective, you're going to want to go to reddit.com. Absolutely. Again, that's a joke from a guy named Damien Slash. He does very funny videos. But there's truth there, right? There's a kernel of truth there that they literally will lie to the ends of the earth. They will rewrite history. They will denounce their own thoughts from 5 minutes ago if they think it's politically advantageous for them to do so. So it's World War 11 from now on. And if you think that the War of Spanish Succession was not a world war, that's because you're a bigot and an Islamophobe. And you need to go to Auschwitz for a trip so you can learn to stop questioning history. History is unquestionable, okay? And when a Democrat gets it wrong, you redefine the word, you rewrite history, and you make sure that everyone bows to Ilhan Omar, even though she is, in fact, very dumb. Very, very dumb.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. Don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer, but they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customers 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two, the same formula but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls in the next hour, so I'm going to try to finish up with a lot of the big stories here in this segment. One thing that's been very disturbing to see is as Israel has taken over the Republican Party, and as they basically weaponized and perverted the Republican Party to serve Israel and Israel exclusively. We've seen members of the Trump administration and now Trump himself coming out against so-called hate speech. This is a little disturbing, but it's perfectly in line with what we've been describing this entire time, which is that people are not Republicans, whether it's Mark Levin or Alan Dershowitz or Sergey Brin, I believe, just announced he was becoming a Republican. They don't actually care about free speech. They don't actually care about the American nation. They don't actually care about the Second Amendment. They don't care about any of these things because they're not Republicans. They're Israel partisans, and they'll go with whichever party serves that agenda. But they don't genuinely like free speech or anything that a typical right-winger would like, which, again, is kind of awkward. It means that they're redefining conservatism or republicanism as an idea to simply mean support of Israel and nothing else. What's your opinion on free speech? Doesn't matter. Transgenderism, who cares? You know, borders, as long as they're around Israel, we don't care where else they are. So you can believe everything the left believes, but support Israel, you're a Republican. If instead you are a diehard far right winger for life like I am, if you don't support Israel, they call you a Democrat. It's crazy, mental, retarded. And of course, yesterday, Trump published this post at the official White House X. I do think that the hate speech of the Democrats is very dangerous. I really think it's dangerous for the country. Now, to be fair, he's not talking about hate speech here. He's talking about the literal calls to violence, which is dangerous for the country, which is beyond the scope of the First Amendment when you see the way the people are openly advocating for physical attacks against specific people. You would think that would fall in the category of like an active, open, and legitimate threat and would then move beyond speech to the action it portends. You're trying to head off that action. But it's not hate speech by any means. But this is, as far as I can tell, kind of an insurmountable problem because you've got people on the left who have been trained and propagandized into this belief. And we've been covering this since before I worked here. Let's just say that. Like, the idea has been spread for so long. It's been so obvious where this was going when they would say, your words are violence. And they would actually say that. And the idea was that the ideas you express could make people angry, that anger could drive people to violence. Therefore, your words are essentially violence. They say that by not accepting trans people, you are committing trans genocide. You haven't done anything, but by expressing opposition to the trans agenda, they say you're committing violence. This was an obvious, this was laying the ground, obviously, for destroying the First Amendment and saying, well, look, we agree with free speech, but what you said is hate. What you said is anti-Semitism, and we have to protect free speech from anti-Semitism. Like, they come up with these insane ideas. But this is the insurmountable part, is that you've got people, like, take Charlie Kirk, for example. You've got people who will say, well, he supported violence, so I'm glad he's dead. He liked guns, so I'm glad he got shot. And this is the type of thing where it's like, okay, so you're not actually against political violence because you just endorse political violence, but you're using the endorsement of political violence as an excuse to endorse political violence. It's hard to like talk about this with people when they genuinely don't actually appreciate the principle of the matter and they don't believe in free speech, but are using it as a weapon against you. It gets a little confusing. And it's especially confusing that it is the Republicans who are now pushing for this. Let's go to this video of Mark Levin, shall we? Because Mark Levin has come out once again declaring his opposition to free speech and his demand that basically everybody who disagrees with him be silenced by the authorities. Let's go to clip number 24. This is the new MAGA. This is the bulwark of the conservative party. This is Americana 101. It's why the First Amendment has to be curtailed, amended, or completely destroyed so that people stop pointing out the horrible actions of Israel. Let's go to clip 24 now.
first time things like this have happened, but it really is problematic because so much of it is protected. And you heard people say, don't you believe in the First Amendment? They don't even know what the First Amendment believes. Do you want to deplatform people? You know, the libs do that. I don't have any problem with deplatforming Nazis or jihadis. I don't have any problem with deplatforming them. What does that mean, deplatforming them? A government law? No. It means that X or Twitter or Facebook or Amazon with Twitch and so forth says, you know what? You're a lowlife. We're not paying, you know, get off our platform. What's wrong with that? It's called private enterprise. I got no problem with that. I mean, what if they have this horrific pornography on? Is that okay? No, it's not okay. What if they have a bunch of drug addicts, you know, shooting up all the time? Is that okay? No, that's not okay. Because our kids have access to it. People who are impressionable have access to it. What if they have people screaming at the top of the lungs saying, assassinate this guy and assassinate that guy? Well, they shouldn't do that. Why? What's the standard? You need to have a standard. What should the law be? What does the Constitution say? I just think we've taken this too far because we're not even talking about political speech, which is the most protected of all speech. We do limit speech. We limit speech pornography. We limit speech cigarettes on the air and so.
What?
We limit speech booze. We limit speech drugs. And I could go on and on and on.
Yeah, this There's is a little different here, speech. Buddy. See, those are speech, actions. Right? Or their words encouraging certain actions. He just wants to stop the ideas. He actually wants to stop political speech. He's like, I don't even know what the First Amendment says. He's like, what even is the First Amendment? As if it's like this confusing thing that we can't figure out. Yeah, the First Amendment is, you know, an absolute core of our identity as Americans, something you don't understand because you're not American. If you understood it, you'd be American, but you don't. Which is why you're not. He wants to demonize everybody that disagrees with him. He wants to basically use the institutional power of Jewish authority to silence people that they don't like. So, again, we'd be against this even if it was the other way around. He, of course, would be having a conniption fit and freaking out and crying and whining and pooping himself if ever there was a major big tech platform that was like, you know, we're a private company here. I think we're going to silence Jews. I think any expression of Judaism is hate speech, so we're going to silence it. Again, I don't even need to come up with some ridiculous, potential that'll never happen. But it's just obvious that the man has no moral. The man has no ethics. The man has no principle. The man believes in nothing except for, you know, his own people and their material success. We can go to clip 52 here because this is nothing new. I mean, Mark Levin is against free speech and has been for a while. And he's in favor of massive institutions using their inordinate and unearned power to silence opponents of a foreign state because he's a Quisling traitor. Let's go to clip 52 here. This was a clip that was included in the Eighth Front War. And sounds like he's had a bit of a change of heart, I think. Not about censorship. I mean, he's still very much in favor of censorship. It's just it goes from sort of this confident, rabble-rousing, you think your podcast is going to change the world, you idiot, to, you know, these podcasters are going to kill us all if we don't silence them. And I love free speech, but I feel in danger. You absolute pussy. Let's go to clip 52 here.
Hitler admirers, Stalin admirers, Jew haters, American haters, Churchill haters, you're damn right we're going to cancel them and deplatform them.
It's called the market from the Republican system. Jewish coalition.
They don't have a lifetime job like a bureaucrat who we're going to protect. And if they're your friend,
Let's pause it and back it up a little bit because that's an important part too. He's not just saying that you're not allowed to think this. You're not allowed to associate with people that think things that he doesn't like. Again, despicable scum. Let's just go back to it. We'll finish it out here and I'll comment on the other side, but. Because this is an important part that he's about to get into where it's he's canceling everybody. It's everybody. You have to love Winston Churchill or you shouldn't be allowed to talk, according to Mark Levin. But the point is, he's like, these aren't bureaucrats with protected jobs. No, they're independent creators whose audience does not require your permission to support them. See, this is the issue. We didn't get jobs from Mark Levin. Mark Levin is not our boss. Jewish people are not our boss. The Republican Jewish Coalition is not our boss. The American people are our customers. So he's acting like, you know, this is, they're not bureaucrats with protected jobs. We should fire them. You're not firing anybody. You're intervening in something that has nothing to do with you. I'm saying something. That person wants to support me. Here comes big fat turd Mark Levin standing in between us and going, aren't you forgetting who needs to get permission for this? You're not firing anybody. You are imposing yourself upon two consenting parties and saying, but I don't consent. Who the hell cares about you at all? Let's go back where now he's going to tell you you can't even be friends with people that don't think what Mark Levin thinks are, you know, self-appointed Jewish overlord. Let's watch.
They don't have a lifetime job like a bureaucrat who we're going to protect. And if they're your friend, there's something wrong with you. No Hitler admirer, Holocaust denier platformer should be anybody's friend, as a matter of fact. You don't get to wrap your psychotic, mental, unhinged, Nazi, Klan, jihadist bullshit around American patriotism.
Okay, we can shut him up. I don't care what he has to say anymore. Again, he's saying all of this because Israel is suffering the consequences for the blatant genocide that they're carrying out in front of the whole world. So again, he doesn't actually care about anything. He doesn't care about free speech, just like he doesn't actually care about genocide. He doesn't care about the Nazis. He doesn't care about the Holocaust. He's doing all of this in service of an actual Holocaust. He just doesn't want it to be against Jewish people. So he's going to weaponize the tragedy of the Holocaust so that they can carry out a real Holocaust. I mean, this is really sick stuff. The redheaded libertarian on X went ahead and threw together a list. These are the people that Mark Levin has called a Nazi in the last year. The Democrats, the Democrat media, an Australian bakery, the Pakistani defense minister, Scott Horton, the entire Libertarian Party, college students, the Ayatollah, Jake Shields, Nick Fuentes, Putin's buddies, Dan Bilzerian, the Houthis, Dave Smith, Tucker Carlson, Beirut, the city of Beirut, Hezbollah, a veteran who asked Mark to be more tolerant, Myron Gaines, the city of London, Hamas, Thomas Friedman, the terrorist, the woke Reich, Graham Plattner, the United Nations, Harvard, Amsterdam, the country of Amsterdam, Columbia University students, the New York Times, or the city of Amsterdam, I should say, Columbia University students, New York Times, the Iranian Nazi regime, the Islamic Nazi regime, the Islamo-Nazi regime, the Islamicist Nazi regime, all of Iran, the new Nazis, a protester on a subway, Rashida Tlaib, Ibrahim Raisi, a New York Times correspondent, Joe Biden's entire State Department, the president of Turkey, college basketball analyst Bruce Pearl, certain Arab liberal and journalists, Arabs, liberals, and journalists, anyone who associates with Dave Smith, reporter Lula Garcia Navarro, ISIS, and 17 random dudes on X. Yeah, just a moderate list of these Nazis, of these filthy Nazis that don't want to help us kill innocent people. Just awful. Just awful. Speaking of just awful, Jonathan Greenblatt, of course, has been making the rounds, head of the ADL. And I got a couple videos from him. I think we'll start with 17 here. Let's start with clip 17. This is Jonathan Greenblatt, ADL CEO and spokesperson, who is, let's just say, following the protocols to a T. Let's go to clip number 17 here. This is Jonathan Greenblatt.
I'm an unapologetic Jew. Like, I'm a proud Jew. I'm a Zionist Jew. I'm the grandson of a Holocaust survivor. I am a proud Jew. I'm an unapologetic Jew. I'm a Zionist Jew. And I'm a Jew who's ready to fight for the things that we have. You know, here I am, and what kind of Jew are you? ADL's what is our mission statement? Like, what we do, stop the defamation of? But that's not our why. Our why, our core purpose, why we were founded.
Oh, I know this one. Hold on, pause it. I know this one. Why they were founded. Well, they were founded in 1913 specifically to protest against the lynching of a rapist and a murderer who was convicted and given a life sentence. And then the Jewish community of Georgia besieged the governor, maybe they bribed him, maybe they had blackmail on him. Somehow they got the governor to issue a pardon or a commutation for the guilty party who was sentenced to death. The people in the city decided just because this guy's got influential friends in the Capitol doesn't mean that he didn't rape and kill our daughter. So we're going to just hang him and give him the punishment that he has earned. So they did that and they ignored the governor's pardon. So that's why the ADL was founded. The ADL was founded following that instance in order to protect and preserve and uplift the memory of the Leo Frank, the rapist and murderer who kidnapped a little Catholic girl, murdered her, tried to blame it on a black guy, and then was convicted in the Deep South. Not the black guy. They didn't fall for that story. Instead, the jury, who a large portion of was Jewish, convicted Leo Frank. The Jewish community tried to get him off of the conviction, tried to rescue him from the appropriate punishment for the crime he committed, and he was lynched. So, sorry. I'm not sure what Jonathan Greenblatt's talking about here, but that's the actual reason they were started in the first place. That's why they were founded, and it's basically what they've done ever since. Okay, so sorry. Back to Jonathan Greenblatt, he's talking about the why and the how of the ADL. And the reason they were founded was, of course, to illegitimately provide cover and stop the quote-unquote defamation, a.k.a. accurate reporting on the systematic rape and then support of the rapist by the Jewish community. Back to Jonathan Greenblatt.
Created was not Jews are safe. That's like – that's the hypothesis. What we do, the why is to protect the Jewish people, to protect the Jews. That's why we exist. So we don't exist for some universalist ideal. We exist to protect the Jews. Because when Leo Frank was hanging from a rope,
wait, he actually brought
that up.
There
was no one there to stop it from happening. When Jews were being
guilty.
Slaughtered.
So hold on. So what he's actually saying, so pause it here. What he's actually saying is the ADL exists to protect Jews from the consequences of their own actions, from the punishment, from the crimes that they commit. I mean, they might claim that Leo Frank was innocent. He was never innocent. He was charged. He was convicted. He was sentenced. They tried to get a pardon for him, or they did get a pardon for him, but it didn't arrive in time. It didn't go through. The people of the town decided it wasn't that important what the governor thought about it. It was their daughter that had been killed, and they would see justice done. And Jonathan Greenblatt is here saying the ADL has to exist to stop that from happening, to stop the appropriate and lawful punishment for the crimes the Jews commit. They have to intervene and prevent that from happening. What a hero. What a genius. What a humanitarian and a philanthropist, right? How much longer is this video? We'll let him go. Let's see what else he has to say. We got another minute in this video. I bet there's more good stuff. Let's watch.
Jews. Because when Leo Frank was hanging from a rope, there was no one there to stop it from happening.
Correct.
When Jews were being slaughtered, there was no one there to stop it. So that's why
that
we
happen?
Exist. So in this
America?
Moment, I think the last decade in particular, although I think you could actually roll back the clock even more, in a world of what I'll call intersectionalism and this pathology of victimhood. It's created the conditions in which it's forced us at ADL, and I think all of us as Jews, committed to this notion of liberalism, not in a political way, but in like a, as a kind of a social political construct, open societies. It's forced us to call into question some of these basic truths we've held dear for so long.
Oh my God.
Because again.
Pause it. So they are the ones pushing the open society. They're the ones pushing multiculturalism. He's saying it right there. He's like, these liberal ideas that we force down everybody's throat. Now that they're affecting us, we're having second thoughts. You know, we're really starting to question this whole liberalism thing now that, you know, we've become insane tyrants that want to impose authoritarian on everybody. Maybe this liberalism thing is due for a revisit, perhaps. Again, I mean, these people are just awful. It's just he's just like the worst person in America as far as I'm concerned. But he says something very important there. He said, we do not exist to serve any higher purpose. We do not exist to support some like objective truth or objective charity. He said, we're here to support Jews and basically their like material well-being, which is really interesting because I said this, and this is probably the most anti-Semitic thing I've ever posted. And I really actually questioned, I was like, should I even post this? Because this is like kind of brutal, what I'm about to say. But it's true, it's accurate, it's disturbing, and it's now confirmed by the head of the ADL. So I guess it's not anti-Semitic after all. I guess just me and Jonathan Greenblatt are both noticing these things. What I said was this. After making The Eighth Front War, the documentary, I said I watched hundreds and hundreds of clips to make this video. Hours and hours and hours of Jewish groups, speeches, discussions, etc. Never once did I hear about any sort of virtue, charity, outreach, or anything that represented a positive outcome for anyone outside of their own in-group. That might sound obvious, but it's disturbing as somebody who's Christian that when you think about the activities of the church, it's almost always entirely about outreach. It's all charity and saving souls and providing service. It's mission trips to build houses in Honduras or orphanages in Uganda. With Jewish groups, there's no outreach. They don't want converts. They have no message to spread, no moral obligation to uplift others. The only virtues they ever express are, in fact, complete inversions. They'll talk about truth a lot, but what they mean in that is that videos of dead Palestinian children need to be repressed so that the quote-unquote truth that they're all terrorists can dominate. Same with peace. Basically, peace is when Israel can murder with impunity and terrorism is when their victims defend themselves. But outside of truth, parentheses lies, and peace, parentheses war, the values they discuss are not moral values. It's simply the physical well-being of themselves. I'm happy to be corrected. Feel free to comment here with any videos you can find of Jewish groups unselfishly helping others. Now, that being said, it's not entirely a bad thing. Like, and again, people get confused at this. I don't begrudge Jews for looking after their own material well-being. Everybody should. I'm mad at white people for not doing it enough, to be honest with you. And we could take a note from the Jews in all of this. So I'm not even really criticizing the Jews for that aspect. But what I do see is a lot of language cloaked in the vocabulary of charity and of beneficence and of universal moral good. But it's empty. And like I said there, I mean, it is actually inversion. They talk a lot about truth, but they don't tell the truth. No, they literally say, you know, people have to know the truth about who the Palestinians are, not the videos of them dying. To them, the truth is the underlying context that makes the genocide okay. And I'm not kidding. And I was like not going to post it because I feel like it's so kind of, like I said, brutal to say this, but I really did watch hours and hours and hours of video, and I was struck by this like assumption that doing things exclusively for the Jewish people was a virtue. That was the shocking thing to me, is when people are like, everybody, you know, not just Jews, but everybody, Gentiles alike, the American government, you all have an obligation to uplift the Jews. And it's like, what? Why? What? What are you talking about? I can say everybody has an obligation to uplift their fellow man. I can say you have an obligation to, you know, put yourself second and put others first, because I think, you know, God requires that of us and it's how he designed the universe. But the idea of being like, it is a moral obligation for you to materially support me and my people and not your own people. It's wicked. It's evil. It's sick. And these people train our FBI and receive millions of dollars from our government and have, you know, are writing Sunday school curriculums and have input into the way big tech algorithms are running. Yeah, screw them.
I'm very pleased to announce two new great products at theolivestonestore.com that will 100% work and deliver you energy, clarity, and also, when you want to relax, great calm, rest, and sleep. Now, a lot of our products are very complex, game-changing, cutting-edge, you name it. But there's a lot of things that are very simple and proven that are still the best. Now, we have several other great energy formulas at theolivestonestore.com. They're more complex. But Ultimate Energy is very, very simple. And this is one of the most popular, long-running energy combinations on the market at Whole Foods, everywhere else, because it really works. It's Ultimate Energy, TheAlexJonesStore.com. Very strong dose of wide-spectrum, organic, time-released caffeine with a big dose of high-quality L-theanine that gives you focus and clarity but relaxes you. So with the caffeine, it's very, very smooth without the letdown, lasts up to 10 hours. That's Ultimate Energy. But when you're ready to relax, Ultimate Chill. A strong dose of high-quality ashwagandha root, known for thousands of years, give people rest, clarity, focus. Doesn't make you tired, just makes you relax, kind of a zen focus. And then on top of that, a big dose of L-theanine that also gives you calm, clear focus. Great rest, great relaxation, great dreams. That's so good for your immune system, your entire body. So some days when I've been working from 5 a.m. to, say, 10 p.m., and I've been, you know, jacked up on our great supplements and you name it, I will go to this formula, Ultimate Chill. That's why I actually came to Big League and said, hey, I'm already using a brand from Whole Foods. This is what's in it. Make it a little bit stronger. So this is a formula I've been using for years to relax. If I'm having trouble being able to kind of ease into non-work mode, and this is how I do it. Simple, proven ingredients that work in a high-quality fusion. Now available at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Anybody to fight?
Well, you
1.25
know,
million dead?
I could pull. We show every week the forced conscription. They're beating, they're tackling people, men in the streets, beating them, forcing them into vehicles, and the fights are unbelievable. And what?
That's their recruitment. They beat the shit out of their people to fight for their country.
Yep. And so I've said this numerous times. I believe never in the history of warfare has a country won a war where they had to force their soldiers to join.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. No one wants to join. Ukraine took Zelensky and Ukraine took a lot of criticism from Biden, Jake Sullivan, and Austin that they did not immediately draft 18 to 23 year olds. They started, I think, at 25. They went down to 23. They still haven't drafted, but they've said, done the selective service thing. But when Zelensky established martial law, he closed the borders. So 18 to 23 year olds were not allowed to leave the country. He just changed that about 6 to 8 weeks ago. The day after he did it, every border crossing was swamped. All the 18 to 23 year olds pretty much have either fled. Yeah. And what does that tell you? It tells you that the messaging, you know, 1, 2, 3, what are we fighting for, doesn't make sense to the actual people who are supposed to do the fighting. So when you have these actual citizens of Ukraine fleeing, fighting for their lives, bystanders join in and help the recruits against these forced conscriptors. You'll see the massive fights, and women too come over. They start beating on these guys. Let them alone. Let them alone. This happens every day all across Ukraine. Because the logical why doesn't make sense. They see people disappear. They realize the truth is, you know, whispered among the people of Ukraine, what's really going on, who's really trying to win this war, whose war it really is. And it's not Ukraine. It's the EU. It's the globalists. And they're the ones telling Ukraine, keep fighting to the last Ukrainian. But the Ukrainian people, the ones that are, you know, the go to war age are having nothing of it.
So they basically don't have a country.
No, they don't. It's not a real country. And that's not against Ukraine. I love Ukraine. I love the Ukrainian people. But if you just take what Zelensky did. So first off on Zelensky, in 2017, he became the lead in a comedy show, Servant of the People, which the producers of which like, you know, famous producers in Hollywood were two of the biggest oligarchs in Ukraine, multimillionaire, billionaire oligarchs.
the head, the one, the billionaire decided, hey, and probably in cahoots with, the Biden State Department and CIA, because they needed a candidate. They needed someone for the 19 election, and it had to be a stooge. So they decided, let's make Zelensky a candidate.
The United States aids Ukraine and her people so that we can fight Russia over there and we don't have to fight Russia here.
I like the structural path we're on here. As long as we help Ukraine with the weapons they need and the economic support, they will fight to the last person.
Completely sick. And, of course, we've seen the videos. I see more every day. That's why I played that video, because I had a collection of a bunch of, the press gangs, essentially, kidnapping men off the street to send them to die on the front line. And then this week you had the headline talking about how Ukraine is bringing in African migrants to fill the gaps left by the war. So, I mean, they literally started a war to kill off the men of the Ukraine so they could replace them with foreigners. And that's what it's been about this whole time. Thanks, Zelensky, scumbag. We'll be back on the other side. Open up the phone lines for your calls. Don't go anywhere, folks. It's the War Room, Infowars.com.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition, that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and you're being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
Alex Jones lights the fuse, and Harrison Smith keeps it roaring. This is the War Room.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We're going to open up the phone lines for your calls this hour. Give us a call. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. Now, I'm going to go to a few more videos here, talk about the left being scared of their own policies and how they're kind of in a position that they can't exactly change their policies to any large degree. But I'm gonna report on it probably tomorrow. I'll do a little bit more, but there's been a lot of talk, and I talked a little about it yesterday, about the way that X is basically changing its algorithm and changing its monetization strategy, and it's all very clearly motivated by an attempt to censor anti-Israel content. And that's just obvious from the fact that the way that the bans or the moderation is being wielded against users of X is very inconsistent if it had anything to do with spam or something like it. But this is just one of a number of operations that we see taking place around the world. As at exactly the same time, you have YouTube creators hit by sudden demonetization wave. Dozens of gaming streamers, podcasters, and anime analysis reports erroneous flags under YouTube's inauthentic content policy, which targets repetitive or mass-produced videos and applies channel-wide. Creators such as Julian Dory and Dave Cullen describe old cleared episodes now demonetized, with appeals often denied after waits of up to 90 days. And of course, it has absolutely nothing to do with the, you know, AI creation videos. These videos are not AI. It has to do more with the content being quote unquote hate speech. And then you've got CBS News, which of course, we know the Trump administration sort of went out of its way to force the selling of CBS News, and it was sold to the American, well, it was, the sale of CBS was told to the American people would be a you know, correction, since the mainstream media is so leftist biased. Now a conservative will be back in the reins. But of course, it's Barry Weiss, and she's not a conservative. She just supports Israel. And so they wanted to lessen the Israel content. And I know it's like it's the same thing over and over, but it's like, yeah. Yeah, no, but it is the same thing over and over. Barry Weiss ousts London bureau chief because of her, quote, balanced coverage on Gaza and Iran, placing her with a pro-Israel stalwart. So behind the scenes, insiders said tensions have lately spilled over inside the London bureau over Middle East coverage. One freelance cameraman and editor had accused Claire Day, as a woman who has been fired, was running the London bureau like a Hamas cell, according to a source. These people are crazy. I'm telling you, these people are legitimately crazy, okay? I'm sure it's just a nice liberal British woman who's just like, well, the bombs are falling on the children. And they're just like, oh my God, she's Hamas. She's Hamas. She thinks killing children is bad. Fire her quick. On Monday morning, when addressing staff about her departure, Day asked the unnamed cameraman, who, according to a source, had claimed to have a direct line to Weiss, to step out of the room before she gave an emotional farewell and lauded praise on her team, a source said. An internal probe over potential slanted coverage cleared Day of alleged bias. Day, who was appointed London bureau chief 2 years ago, has worked for CBS News for two decades. She clashed with Weiss, a self-proclaimed Zionist, over coverage on Iran and Gaza. Claire was pushing back on calls with Weiss over coverage, the person said, also claiming that Barry Weiss barely spoke to her to address her issues. A second CBS insider added that there was never any kind of blow up on a daily editorial call, but the Day made it clear she wanted coverage to be balanced. It's really sad. Claire had been the most committed soldier to CBS News for nearly a quarter of a century, the source added. For Barry and Tom to discard her because she failed some undefined purity test is appalling. Well, you're an anti-Semite, sir. How dare you? Reporters covering Gaza and the Middle East Bureau were concerned about Deputy Middle East Bureau Chief Shindy Race's leadership and privately discussed asking editors to remove her from leading coverage because of the way that she was manipulating coverage of the Middle East war. So it's not exactly about a balanced coverage. It's actually balanced coverage is not what they want. If you provide balanced coverage, they will replace you with somebody who is a diehard Israel partisan who's willing to lie on their behalf, even if it means people die as a consequence. Other things happening right now. The C-9 bill in Canada is about to be passed. And actually, I think I have a video about this as well, where you actually have people being arrested for this. But this person, Jeff Horseman on X, Canada or East Germany. If a mother objects to forced political expression, daughter fails class for refusing to produce a land acknowledgement, mother objects to acknowledgement prior to daughter's social drama performance, principal calls Child Protective Service. Okay, do you understand? So a mother told her kid, like, that land acknowledgement thing, that's bullcrap, it's anti-white, it's stupid, it's just a humiliation ritual, you don't have to participate in it. So the daughter says, I'm not doing that thing. So they say, okay, you fail the class. If you don't acknowledge your betters, the Native Americans, and supplicate yourself, genuflect before them, then you fail the class. The mother says, what the hell? My daughter's smart. She did all the work. You're failing her because she didn't do a land acknowledgement? That's ridiculous. And so the principal tries to get her family taken away. Principal called the counselor that evening to determine whether the daughter should be released to her family and reported the family to Child Protective Services. Social workers subsequently came to the house and interviewed the minor children, closing the file immediately after finding no issues of concern. But that might change soon. I mean, who knows? Next, simply saying we don't agree with the land acknowledgement could very well be perceived as some sort of mental abuse against the children. That's actually happening, not just in Canada, but in America as well, where in Colorado, they are passing a law to do exactly what you think with trans children, where if your kid is trans and you don't support their new identity that's been fed to them by a fat gay substitute teacher who kept them back during recess to groom them. If you don't accept the grooming of your children by the radical queers in school, then they'll take your children away. And they're passing that law in Colorado as we speak. And then you've got this. So this is a couple, well, in Australia, it's particularly bad. Basically, look, you can look to Australia, you can look to Canada and then Australia if you want to see, you know, just how bad censorship can get and how quickly it can get there. Thought I had one more story here. Cause you gotta, I gotta compare these, okay? So here's a couple stories, out of Australia. Crossdresser, trans person, jailed for 6 months for child abuse material. Okay. 6 months, child abuse material. A leftist journalist was let out on bail, even though he was being charged with participating in a satanic pedophile ring. A far-left homosexual Aboriginal journalist accused of being one of the ringleaders of a global satanic pedophile network has been released on bail to live in a small New South Wales town. Landon Ashton Versace Germanta Mills, 27, is among six men, as well as a former NSW police officer and LGBTQA plus swim coach, were arrested in Sydney by Strike Force Constantine and charged with a raft of child abuse materials, bestiality materials, and drug offenses between November and February. But he's out on bail and he's living fine. Meanwhile, the Aussie who was jailed for calling Jews the enemy has had his sentence cut from 12 months down to 10. Okay. And the, Joel Davis, who didn't even say that. He said something about, you know, go rape this person in the comments, right? Go defeat this person in the comments is what that means in internet slang. He was not given bail. He was not given a hearing. He was kept in solitary confinement for months on end and not even given books to read as they kept him locked in a windowless cell for 24 hours a day. Complete brutal torture. This guy, we showed the speech he gave. He referred to the enemies of Australia and included Jews in that list. And he's been sentenced to a year in prison. Meanwhile, the transgender crossdresser who created child abuse material, 6 months. 6 months for the child abuse, a year for anti-Semitism in Australia. You get let out on bail if you are a ringleader of a satanic global pedophile ring. But if you talk badly about Jews, you're going in solitary confinement for as long as they can keep you there. So that's the way the world is going. We can feel free to intercept and stop this trajectory at any point. We just have to realize how utterly asinine and ridiculous all of this is. Now, with that, we'll go out to your phone calls in the order in which they have been received. We'll go to Godzilla in Wisconsin first. Godzilla, thank you very much for calling about the time travel ballroom. I've got the stories right here. I haven't looked into it. I've got a long video about it. I'm going to research it tonight. What do I need to look into with the BAAL room, the ballroom that Trump is building?
Yeah, I saw that. I also saw the joke they made calling it the ballroom for Erica Kirk's balling, even though I kind of sympathize with her. And, you know, she has a tough job and she's going to get targeted for that, for everything she does. But anyway, I wanted to talk about the time travel stuff. You know, I've called before and talked about the time travel stuff with you. Yep. And like what I told you before was, you know, if time travel is ever invented in the future or the past, we've always had time travel.
Yep.
And you were talking about the book that Baron Trump's in and the Marvelous Underground Journey book. Yep. From Ingersoll Lockwood.
Yep.
And those, you know where those books came from, right?
What do you mean?
They came from, like, the craze from Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland. So, like, Alice in Wonderland came out, and it was, like, a big hit in the novel world. And then these books came out, and they kind of have, like, a similar structure. So, like, instead of the White Rabbit, there's, like, a dog that Baron follows. His name's like Don, like Donald.
Yeah.
And they talk about like really prescient issues, like that probably made no sense back then, but like.
Well, even the today, stuff about the Hollow Earth and that he enters into the Hollow Earth through a point in the, I think it's in the North Pole is where he goes. There's Castle Trump and all this stuff. Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. It's the synchronicity and the meme magic. I mean, you really can't get a better example than that. So what's your take on it?
Look at all the, like, with the meme magic and the numbers stuff. That's all, like, the language of God. Part of language, the language of God is, like, mathematics and, like, the numbers stuff that's so prevalent. You know, like, it's then mirrored by all the secret societies. Like, you see, like, the Rothschilds and Rockefellers, they start with R-O. And then when you add them up, it's 33. So they're starting their last names off with 33, you know, or Rolex, luxury items, you know. And with AI and supercomputers, you know, that time travel stuff is, like, getting broken, where they can, like, do calculations, they're saying, with, like, the new quantum computers that are so fast that the only logical explanation is that they're bending space and bending time.
Yeah, they're going into a different dimension. I was going to say, because quantum entanglement is sort of a form of time travel, because it's information that's transferring faster than the speed of light, which we think is a, you know, a permanent cap in our dimension. So if you're having a immediate change over a distance, you know, of several thousand miles, then you're breaking the speed of light, which should be illegal. So, you know, in a form of time traveling there. The other interesting wrinkle in all of this is the family member that Donald Trump talks about more than any other family member, which is his Uncle John, who worked at MIT and confiscated all of Tesla's work when he died and apparently was involved in some time travel stuff. So, yeah, there's a lot of, like, bizarre connections with all of that. And if y'all haven't looked into The Last President or Barron Trump's Marvelous Journey, you should. And we've done reports on it, and we covered it when it first came out. Fascinating stuff. Thank you for the call, Godzilla. Let's go to Bart in Georgia on line five. Bart, thank you for calling in about Mark Levin's attack on the First Amendment. Well, he doesn't even know what the First Amendment is. We don't even think it exists. There never was a First Amendment. You're making it up, okay? It never existed, and we've always had hate speech laws, and it's illegal to say otherwise. Thanks for calling in, Bart. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Mark Levin's a big liar. However, even he is protected under the First Amendment. Rush Limbaugh used to say, I quote, "The press has the right to lie, but only if you're a leftist. If you're Alex Jones, you can't even make a mistake." Mm-hmm. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you very much. And yeah, no, I don't want Mark Levin silenced. I want everybody just to recognize what it is he's actually doing and reject him outright. And again, this is the hard part, is that a lot of Americans just, like, think it's fine to lie. Again, because they've been told that the Trump administration lies all the time, and they're just like, we're in a post-truth world. I guess we'll lie because we can get what we want if we lie. And they just, like, think it's fine. So it's one of these things where without a moral and upstanding and ethical population, you do have to have tyranny, right? What should happen is, once somebody's revealed to be a liar or have ulterior motives or be misrepresenting the reason they're doing something, everybody in America should go, screw that guy, we can't trust him at all, forget it. But what happens now is half the country goes, well, he's lying, but he's clever. I get what he's doing, and he's doing it for me, for my side. So I'm going to pretend to believe what he's saying and, you know, go along with it. They think it's, like, clever, and, you know, it's not. It's just lying. You're just lying, and it just destroys everything. And so if you don't have a population that holds our own politicians or public figures to account, then I guess we do have to have tyranny. I guess we do have to have an authority dictate to us what is truth and lies. Really, we should be able to do it ourselves. It's just our moral capacity for recognizing and standing against lies has been diminished on purpose through, you know, all of the lies. So troublesome stuff. Let's go to thank you for the call, Bart. Let's go to line 10 here. We've got Corn Pop in Maine, who's called in. And you say you won a federal lawsuit. Corn Pop, how you doing,
hey,
sir?
Hey, what's going on, bud? Yeah, won my federal – well, not completely won it, but I – we had a judge pretty much tell me I won. I got my free speech back, and I will be able to speak freely at the Augusta School Board meetings.
Well, so, yeah, fantastic. First, I'm sure they're very angry about that. Now, was this about – last time we talked, I think it was the people on the bridge that were, like, assaulting you, and you were being – really harassed by the local police there. Excuse me. Does this have to do with that?
No, that's my second federal lawsuit.
Okay.
But so, listen.
What's this one?
I'm about to blow your mind with this, because this kind of ties into that lawsuit. So if you go to the video that I just reshared to the top, right? So I've been exposing a place called the Access Center here in Augusta, Maine. What this place is you can walk in and you can grab, you can say, hey, I'm a drug addict and I want to do my drug safe. And they give you a bag of needles. They don't give you just needles. They give you little pans to heat your heroin up with instructions on how to do it. Jawbreakers. I mean, just, dude, it's nuts what they hand out. So then I started, you know, posting about the needles being, you know, all over the place because the snow is melting. Mm. Well, come to find out, the person that runs this center is sitting on the city council. Well, I've been posting about it, exposing about it. Come to find out, not only that, they have this little box that sits outside this center that looks like one of those boxes that's all around our city where kids can go and do book exchanges. You know what's in this box? Plan B, Narcan, condoms, that anyone can just walk up with no supervision at any time and just grab. So I've been exposing all this, and the city councilor that I've been exposing all this put a PFA on me. And then she put a harassment order on me once. I mean, first, then turn around because we live in the same town. I go to the same grocery store every day. And I walked in. She was there. I made a purpose to not say anything to her, went completely out of the way. Come to find out, she had Augusta PD going up there and searched her car for trackers. So then she turns around and files a PFA on me. And then last night, I get a knock on the door at 10 o'clock at night, and I get summoned for a violation. I pretty much got arrested last night for just calling out a city official. I've never called her personal phone. I've never been to her house. I've only bumped into her three different times outside of city council meetings, which all of them are live on Facebook. Like, it's crazy.
That's nuts. Well, what is a PFA? I'm not familiar with that.
It's a protection order.
Oh, protection. Okay.
I posted the entire. I mean, you can go look. I posted the entire thing, and the entire thing that she claims is lies, and it's all documented. And like, I literally just went to the police station. I'm trying to upload the video now. I'm not even allowed to go to city council meetings because she's sitting in there. I'm a taxpayer.
Oh, so she did a restraining order to keep you away from her, but she's a city council member, so that means now you can't go to the city council meeting. My God, Cornpot.
And this is the important thing. I've never done anything but call her out and tag her. Like, I've never gone on her page or anything. Like, the only thing I've done is post about her as her role as executive director of the Access Center and city councilor. And all I've done was tag her, not even her regular Facebook page, her city council page that she's not even allowed to block me on.
No, so, I mean, honestly, it sounds pretty cut and dry. It sounds like they're, you know, conspiracy against your rights, honestly. That's egregious.
This is why this ties into the other case with me suing the Augusta PD, because she sits on the city council. So I'm suing the city.
And she's filing protective orders against you for running into her at the grocery store.
She had APD come search her car for trackers, and they didn't feel the need to call me and let me know that they had to do that. I'm like, wait a minute. How many times are you searching an elected official's car for trackers? And these cops all know me by name, first and last name.
Well, that is wild. I encourage everybody to go follow Corn Pop at PWA1776. It's PWA1776, Corn Pop from Maine.
At what point is this not election interference? Like, my election is next month. June,
I was going to say, are you still running? Because you're running for school board, right?
Yes, I'm running for school board. And I got to go to court a week after if I win or lose the race. And if I do win the race, I can't even work with city council as a school board member because she sits on it.
Wow. Now, that is insane.
And this is the crazy part, is right before I got served with the summons, I literally had a one-on-one meeting with the mayor because, for one, I'm trying to organize a cleanup, and that was what the meeting was intended to be. But yesterday, around noon, I got served with the PFA while I was at work. So then I laid everything out to the mayor and was like, hey, look, like, I've never called her personal phone. I'm never, like, even though it's legal, I never protested outside of her house. Like, I never even knew her address.
Wow. No, it sounds like, I mean, honestly, it sounds like you've got a case there. We'll have to, let's stay in touch. We'll get you on, You know, maybe next week, obviously Friday is going to be a big transition for us, but I'd love to have you come on and really lay out, everything again with your face and everything. Cause that, I think that's an important, curtailment of your rights. And, you know, just because the federal government's where most of the tyranny's coming from, doesn't mean we can ignore the, small scale tyranny that is really destroying our country from the inside out. Go follow Corn Pop on X at PWA1776. Follow me at Harrison A. Smith. Make sure you're following Alex at AJN Live and at Real Alex Jones, and we'll be right back.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this. That's where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world, has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record, good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexshield.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexshieldstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexshieldstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue, and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshieldstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. We'll go out to your phone calls here. I do want to go to... I want to go to one video because I talked about it so much today, and I didn't really have time to get to it, but I got to go out to your calls. I have so many great videos about this. Let's go to clip 34 here. This is a YouTuber named Shoe on Head. She's really great, and she's sort of making fun of Hassan Piker's use of the word incel. Incel, of course, means involuntary celibate, or that a leftist doesn't like you, is basically what it means. Again, it's just a little bit ironic. I get called incel. I have a wife and children, and that's not even saying that much. And this is just goes to the heart of the matter. It really does. And I could show you, I showed you the video of the woman earlier saying she's 44 but still fertile, but she's not going to have kids because she doesn't want to perpetuate America. Okay. Brain broken, genetic dead end retard. Like, what else is there to say? But I got a bunch of other videos. I got videos of the Green Party in the UK, you know, vociferously denying the beliefs that are in their manifesto, that are in fact the first line of their manifesto. I mean, I have like so many videos of this exact thing. David Cross and Bill Maher talking about this, and David Cross being like, yeah, I support democratic socialism. Bill Maher's like, do you even know what that is? And he's like, not really. These people don't know what they believe. At the end of the day, they don't believe anything, and they really can't believe anything because their fundamental humanity has been warped beyond recognition. This is why yesterday I was going off about how these people don't have souls. This is what I'm talking about here. There is something distinctly human that they are missing. Here's Shoe on Head laying it out when it comes to Hassan Piker, for one.
Oh, you want to meet a woman and settle down and have a family? Maybe have a house, two dogs? You sick fuck. We've reached radioactive levels of incel propaganda. What the fuck does incel mean anymore? I feel like I ask this in every single video. This tweet got thousands of likes. I feel like I am going and say, where does the incel part come from? Like, they want men to be open about their emotions, and then men are open about their emotions, and then they're just called Nazis or incels or both. Usually both. It's usually a package deal. And this tweet came from a man, to make things worse. A grown-ass man saw another grown-ass man speaking about the normal human desire to want a family and want children one day, and called him an incel. Cockroach behavior.
In any case, what is this? Capcom's Pragmata. Wait, did it come out already? Pragmata, it's making thousands of people suddenly want to start a family. You play as Hugh, a soldier stranded on a ruined lunar research station, as his job is protecting the childlike android Diana while fighting rogue AI. In one emotional moment, she gives him a crayon drawing of the two of them together as a little family. Even streamers who say at the start they didn't want kids end up breaking down happy in tears. So what's really interesting about this is all of these unfuckable losers in the gaming sphere always talk about like starting families and stuff, and I don't understand like why this has become a thing that they care about. Like, if you're a gamer, you should care about things that you actually experience. You should care about things that you actually enjoy, right? If you're a f***ing lonely gamer who has never been around a woman and will never have sex with a woman, why do you care? Like, why do you care about having children or like riding for having children? Like, it's just not something that you're going to experience ever for your life, for the rest of your life, right? This is something that I never understand.
Wow, maybe there's a reason people are yearning to start a family and can't afford to have one and can't seem to find a partner. They feel alienated from their work and atomized from their community. If only there was a political commentator around to speak about all this. Oh well, guess not. First of all, the only care about something if it affects you is extremely libertarian coded, and also very weird coming from a guy who understandably wants everybody to care about a genocide that is happening across the ocean. Second of all, what is this nihilistic horseshit? Yeah, never aspire for anything. Never aim for greatness and meaning. This is the dude the media wants us to believe is going to save young men from the alt-right pipeline. Yeah, okay. And I love how he's like, unfuckable losers. Like, okay, congrats on the sex, bro. Check out this sex haver over here. I'm sure all those unfuckable losers could easily go to foreign brothels and pay for sex like you, Hassan. Something weird about a man who could easily, consensually get sex from a woman but chooses to go to a brothel. I don't know. Just saying. Also, 35? No kids? Like, I'm sorry, that just pisses me off. Like, sitting in his ugly ass $600 Gucci sweater. I swear I've never seen this guy in a fucking normal ass t-shirt. Sitting on his high horse, looking down at people for wanting something more out of life. I don't understand how someone could be so mentally mind-raped that this is their reaction to such like a simple, wholesome concept. Like, literally, no joke, the entire meaning of life is somehow confusing to Hassan Piker.
That part, I think, sums it all up. The entire meaning of life is confusing to Hassan Piker. Antinatalist, if I saw a child that looked like that, I'd probably attack it. Yeah, well, you see the trans flag poking out there a little bit. A little bit. Yeah, no, these people, yeah, they're like not human, so I don't know what else to tell you. But I'm glad we're all coming around to this. Let's go to your calls again. Let's go to Republic Apostle in Florida. Very good X follow as well. Republic Apostle, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hey, bud. How's it going?
It's good. How you doing?
Hey, so I wanted to mention something about the whole drama with X and trying to get the people who are not so friendly with the Jews. Do you know the account Antunes or...
Yeah, Antunes or whatever his name is. Yeah, he's been going off on Nikita Beer, the new community manager on X.
Had you, but yeah. So what he said, and I've heard some other people say it, is they're trying to encourage people to make more videos with like their faces in it.
Right.
A little thing I wanted to add into that. The secret motivation for that is everybody, or at least a good majority of the people who are speaking out, are behind anonymous accounts, right? And we already know that Israel is sending the data, or that X is sending data over to Israel. We've seen people reporting it everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Authentics or whatever, that Israeli ID confirmation thing. Yeah.
It's funny. I've never done it before, but some guy, Ian Malcolm on X, he wants me to jump on a space with him tonight. So I'll repost that later if you want to listen.
Okay, you should. Yeah, he's a great follow as well. Yeah, what's going on with X is very suspicious. And I think it was Antunes that made the point where he's like, look, you know, Instagram, YouTube, they have like internal editors. They have like tools for creators to use. Twitter doesn't have any of that. It doesn't have an internal editor. It doesn't have the ability to add titles to your video. It doesn't have the functions that you would need to be a creator platform. They're just not one. It's a great platform for sharing stuff, but like, I do nothing but my own material, right? I'm posting original videos 10 times a day because I do 3 hours of content. My, you know, payout dropped by half last week too. So they're just lying about what they're doing. They're like, no, we're trying to make it about creators and we want to see original content, not reposters. All of Twitter, all of X is a reposting engine. That's what it's for. That's what you're supposed to do on it. You're supposed to interact and talk to each other about stuff or post, you know, a headline and put your own comment on it. That's what Twitter is supposed to be about. It's not a video platform. It's not an image platform. It's a text platform. Obviously, images and videos do well, but they're lying because I post, like I said, nothing but, I mean, I repost them from InfoWars, but like, it's me. It's my content and I'm putting it up live. Is there a carve out for that for me? Obviously not. So, it has nothing to do with them trying to get more original creators on the platform. There are like a billion other things they could do that would facilitate that. They're using that as the excuse to silence everybody. So, and I brought that up and talked about a user named Junior. And I swear I had a bunch of people like disagreeing with me over it. And every single one of them was like an Israel first partisan. Like they know exactly what's going on. they get it, and they're happy that all of the anti-Israel people are being deleted or demonetized, and they're just pretending that it's about spam or whatever. It's not. It's obviously not. So, yeah, that's my answer there. So, yeah, Republic Apostle, go follow him on X if you can. And, yeah, I look forward to that space later. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Tim in California now. Tim in California, thanks for calling in. I've heard about this story. Apparently, 15 chemical spraying drones were stolen from a place in New Jersey, right? What do you know about this?
Well, just that in and of itself is that, you know, all the oxygen in the room got swallowed up with the shooting at the correspondence dinner. So these things can fly under the radar, so to speak. But these aren't, you know, these aren't, you know, cameras looking down on people or whatever. These are carrying 40 gallons each. These are 242 pounds empty. These are 242 pounds empty. Each one carries 40 gallons of liquid chemicals, and it can cover a 15-acre stretch in 7 minutes. So the FBI is freaking out. They say, hey, man, these aren't hobby drones with cameras, okay? These are industrial threats. And here's the weird part, and it reminds me of videos that you guys, I saw, you showed, where at nighttime some of these drones are flying in, like, perfect semicircular patterns in formation or whatever, almost like when you were a child and you had a compass and you could use a little, you know, a stick pin in the center of the paper and you draw a circle, like a little compass. They're just perfectly formed. And come to find out, these things are GPS-driven. So a person is just and by the way, these were stolen by a delivery driver that tricked a logistics company with his shipping papers. So, I mean, it's not like they were stolen in the dead of night. This guy drove out of the gate with these 15 Crop Spring Series AC-31 drones, and the FBI is freaking out because they're saying this is absolutely – I mean, I don't need to state the obvious outside out loud, do I? Think about it. For $100, I could mix up 40 gallons worth of you know, fentanyl or whatever else and spray it on top of a stadium of people. These were stolen from New Jersey. So let's say you went to Gillette Stadium and had two of the 15, and you sprayed both sides of the people at the same time. You'd kill 50,000 people in one shot in less than 5 minutes. I mean, I'm just saying, this is serious, really, really, really big, and nobody's talking about it. I could smell this coming a long time ago. Couldn't you? Couldn't you smell this coming a long time ago?
Well, that's what I was wondering, if it had anything to do with the drone sightings over New Jersey in, like, 2023. Remember that? Remember that big crazy time where, like, every night there were, like, insane drone sightings all over Jersey and everybody was speculating what it was? And then the government came out and said, we believe they're Iranian drones from a mothership that's waiting offshore. And, like, it was totally crazy. Do you think there's any connection to this?
Me, that's the first thing that came to mind, is that just like a few months before Donald Trump came back into office his second time, while it was still under the Joe Biden administration, as you say, all these drones were flying all over New Jersey. And the same thing, people are saying, hey, man, these aren't little ones. These are like huge. These are like school bus sized drones, and nobody knows nothing about nothing, right?
I was going to say, how big is a 240-pound drone? That is enormous. I mean, we have a big drone that – it doesn't really work, but it's big. It, like, you know, would barely fit on this table, and it doesn't weigh 240 pounds. It weighs about 15 because they got to be light.
They say these are ATV-sized drones. ATV-sized drones, 242 pounds empty, carrying 40 gallons of liquid, can disperse it over, you know, many acres, 15 acres, in like just 7 minutes of time. Just boom. It's GPS driven. That's the key here, man. You got 20 million people that came in from 180 countries unvetted. You got dozens and dozens and dozens of these Chinese people who are brilliant enough to do this, no doubt about it. It doesn't have to be Chinese. It could be other people that hate us. But I'm just saying, people could figure out, if I get these in my possession for no money at all, I'm going to load them up and I'm going to send them here. And you could, by the way, you could send them all different places all at the same time to hit all at the same time in different places. You could really, really, really have like a 200,000 or 300,000 person casualty event. I'm not trying to freak out or anything, but it's just nobody's even talking about this.
Now, that is very crazy. I mean, you talk about fentanyl. I was also seeing something about how, you know, ChatGPT or just AI chat now is helping people. You can basically, like, design pathogens. I didn't really look into it, but it was this warning that was like, hey, you know, with AI now, people can have, you know, homemade labs where they can develop, you know, diseases for them, you know, to spread around. So, I mean, you talk about some of the, you know, Chinese students caught smuggling in Ebola and stuff. I mean, fentanyl would be a very easy way to do it, but there are a lot of other things that they could do with those spraying drones. Now, that is a very big deal. And you have to wonder, again, you know, it's like we talk about everything. You know, the NSA is watching us constantly. You have flock cameras absolutely everywhere. How does somebody get away with something like this? How does somebody not get caught when they know that they drove them out in a truck? Can you not follow that truck? Do you not know who gave you the wrong paperwork? Like, what are the odds you think that this is not all that it seems? Because it seems to me like if you were trying to find 15 ATV-sized drones that were drone out by somebody, driven out by somebody who you know who it was, I mean, really, how hard could they be to track down? I mean, how did this come? Maybe I need to look into this story more, because you're right. I really have not paid too much attention to this. How did they pull this off? Do you know?
Let me tell you this, as a professional truck driver once upon a time, if you were carrying even a $3 million load of cigarettes, even back in the day, they had little GPS things at the front of that cab. So even if you put a gun to my head, threw me on my truck and killed me, as soon as you drive away, they know this truck and here's where the cigarettes are. And that's for a $3 million load of cigarettes. How much more should we be securing 15 crops? And of course, they're supposed to be for crop spraying for farmers and so forth. But still, how much more should we be paying attention to this than, say, a load of cigarettes?
Yeah. Wow. No, that's very troubling. Thank you for calling in about that. I do want to get to some other callers, but we should spend more time on that. I'll look into it and see if I can't get to the bottom, because I've seen the headlines. But, you know, the other thing is that this is different than the drones. Like a month or so ago, there was a story that was like, two drones stolen from a naval base. But it was really weird because the theft had occurred back in October or something. And why it was making headlines now was a little bit suspicious. But seems like they've, I don't know, there are military drones going missing all over the place. Apparently, we can't keep our eyes on it. It's kind of disturbing. Let's go to, we got Badass Uncle Sam on the line. Thank you for calling in, Badass Uncle Sam from Louisiana, New Orleans, Louisiana. How you doing?
Oh, that's a tough question right there, Harrison. Mentally or physically?
Well, both. What's got you down?
Oh, man. I'm looking at the eviction notice on my door, too. I was a victim of mortgage fraud and kicking me out of my home. I gotta get the hell out of here. And like you, though, I don't have a place to go. So I'm kind of like internet homelessness here. So if anybody out there has got a home for Badass Uncle Sam, let me know. You know.
Well, hold on. Okay. What happened with your house?
Yeah, during COVID, I rent. And a good friend of mine was giving me his great place at half what he could get it for. But he went ahead and took advantage of that moratorium during the mortgage.
Uh-huh.
And so he went back to pay his mortgage. And they says, oh, it's paid off. It's been discharged. You don't owe anything. He said, oh, well, hell, I own the house. Check. He saw it. Yeah, looks like I have title. And then the next thing you know, about 6 months later, a sheriff shows up at the door and says, you got to get the hell out of here. So we fought it for a while. A year and a half later, we didn't hear anything. They come back again, you got to get out. So finally, it's been adjudicated, went through the courts, got so screwed up that even professional real estate lawyers were going, I can't handle that. So my landlord threw up his hands, walked away from a $300,000 home, and here I am with an eviction notice on my door, and I can't find a place to live. Can't do it. Everything's too expensive.
Well, that's not going to stand. How can people help you? How can people reach out to you? Do you got social media people can follow?
Well, badassunclesam.com. And if you guys want to leave me a message and give me a heads up or contribute or anyway, that's fine. But boy, beyond that, I'm telling you, Harrison, let's go back a year ago when Trump first got in, he seemed to be doing almost everything right. do you ever think we'd be on the bloody end of the stick by this time?
It's happened faster than I expected. And it's crazy what's happened. It's completely insane.
It's beyond insane. You guys got my rig. See, I want to get that new rig out there with the TV screen and all. I figure I'd be able to get enough paid subscribers to get me over the hump and get a place to live. But, man, I'm looking at it this way. Even if I got that new rig out there now, I'm thinking by the end of this year, we're going to be under martial law. With the economy collapsing, the food riots are going to happen because, the crops aren't going to come in, not with no fertilizer.
You think we're not going to have midterms?
We might make it to them. Or if we do it, it's still going to be, I'm just looking at everything. We're listening to Gerald Celente today on the SGG report. He's just as glum about what's going to happen. He says, the economy is going to collapse, man. It's going to go down. And then there was a good report. There's a lady on here from she was a doctor. This has been, it really does a deep dive. The name of the article is, Are Our Leaders Demonically Possessed?
And, I think I could answer that.
Yeah, it's the H-Files. The lady's name is, let me scroll it up here. And it's really a deep article. Dr. Heather Lynn. Are the world leaders demonically possessed? The ancient technology of demonic profession, transfer. And she goes a really deep dive going back to the Egypt. And halfway down, it has a real, the court. Saucer, how by they have the leaders are surrounded by demons, and she brings up how White, Paula White, is sort of like the court jester or the shaman of old, whispering into Donald Trump's ear, who is now possessed. It really is a good article.
It's one of those things that it's like, I know more people have become Christian because of the evil in the world than just about anything else. You start looking around, you go, I need a better explanation for this, because what these people are doing, it's not even for their own, self-aggrandizement. It's not for their own ego. It's like what they're doing is just destructive without reason. It's like it feels demonic. It's like we need an explanation beyond the natural. There's something supernaturally evil going on here. And I think you're exactly right. And of course, people from cultures all over the world have recognized that. Well, I'm incredibly bummed to hear your living situation is a little uncertain. We'll have to stay in touch because that's unacceptable for Badass Uncle Sam to not have the support of the Patriots that you do such a great job representing. We brought up a Gibson Go. Is that yours?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Info Wagon? How can people find that?
BadassUncleSam.com, and then there's a donation button for PayPal there, and then Gibson Go.
BadassUncleSam.com. If people don't know, Badass Uncle Sam for decades has been out in the French Quarter doing what we do in real life, actually red-pilling people to their face out in public. It's amazing. I remember seeing him probably back when I was in high school and would go, visit New Orleans. A true patriot, man of the people, and solid guy. That is unacceptable that you're don't have a place to stay. Please reach out. There's a Gibson Go. There's a shop there, badassunclesam.com. We really appreciate all of the hard work you do, Badass Uncle Sam, and I hope you keep calling in. It won't be on InfoWars, but we'll still be here doing what we do, just like you do what you do. Thank you for the call, sir. Well. Well, folks, it's going to get worse before it gets better, but we're keeping our eye on the prize. And you can support us, of course, by going to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. We are going to continue the mission. We are going to launch into the stratosphere. We are gearing up and fueling up the escape pod as we speak. You can help by going to thealexjonesstore.com. We'll see you tomorrow here at InfoWars headquarters.
In a world where globalists, depopulationists, principalities, and powers of the air have been adding, spraying, and inundating humans with heavy metals, chemicals, and toxins, TheAlexJonesStore.com would like to introduce a new way to remove them from your body from the inside out. Introducing Zeolite. Zeolites are a group of crystal-like porous minerals that are found where molten stone meets water. From the Greek zeo, to boil, and lithos, or light, meaning stone, this unique network of tiny little holes and channels found in zeolite absorb and remove harmful substances like heavy metals, chemicals, and other toxins. So don't delay. Start the process of removing unwanted toxins from your body and put some skin in the game of the info war today by going to TheAlexJonesStore.com and picking up a bottle of Zeolite.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.